720 WGN. It's John Hanson with the star of the evening.
Aw, come on now.
It's her birthday. It's Esmeralda Leon.
Yay, my birthday's tomorrow.
Bouncing up. And it counts. This is your broadcast birthday because you're not on the air tomorrow, are you?
No. Unfortunately.
Of course, you know Esmeralda every single morning from 2 to 5 with Nick DiGilio and through the overnight, too.
Exactly. Yeah, and with Patty.
And with Patty. You make me laugh every single morning when I get up to go to normal job, day
to
job. It's nothing normal
it's not
about
really,
it.
Really, yeah.
I know, but every time I go there, I listen to you and Nick on my way to work, as I often tell people. And, yeah, so we're celebrating Esmeralda's birthday all night. We've got a lot of awesome stuff planned. It's funny because I basically... Vic Vaughn was wondering what we were talking about tonight because I know he's driving. He's on a long road trip.
He's driving. He's gonna. We're gonna keep him company.
Right. So essentially, it's meat, rum, other stuff.
Yep.
I mean, important other stuff.
It's
don't
good
get me
stuff.
Wrong. It's good stuff. But we're gonna be talking actually about some serious stuff. Also, the Syrian situation with someone who grew up in Syria and she worked for the Syrian refugee. Network here in Chicago. We're going to be talking to Suzanne Sahul a little bit later on. And also we're going to be chatting about some... Oh, and we have some music coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, too.
Yeah, we have music. And then also a little bit of charity.
A little bit of charity. Yeah, we got it all covered here. We're filling in for Justin Kaufman in the download. Should we call it the upload, then? Are we the upload? Just uploading consistently. And we want you to chime in. 312-981-7200. You can call us. You can text us. We would love to hear from you on this Friday. The weather is supposed to be gorgeous this week. It was so
nice
to see the sun. And actually, yesterday I thought it was going to be a lot worse. But once the storm cleared out, yesterday was pretty nice, though. Cold. Today was still a little bit on the chilly side. But, it's so nice.
But it was
nice.
Still nice out.
It was gorgeous.
There's no more rain.
Right.
And that's what I see is important.
That's ultimately the key thing. There's a little rain in the forecast for Monday, which could be a problem with Cubs opening day on Monday night at Wrigley Field, on and off showers, but mainly in the afternoon.
Right.
But we'll get to that when we get to that.
Let's go to the weekend.
Let's get to the weekend.
We got weekends.
60s tomorrow and then 70s on Sunday.
Yes.
We're all very excited about that. So
tell me what happened to you just before you got in.
Okay, yes.
Because this is insane.
This is crazy. So since it was a nice day, I live in the Ukraine. Village / Humboldt Park, and I was like, I'll walk today. You know, it's about an hour and a half walk. It's a little bit of a hike, but I love walking outside.
That's
and it
nice.
Was super nice, too. So I was just like, all right, I'll take a walk. So as I'm only like a block away on Michigan Avenue. I'm walking south, and out of the alley, and I'm like crossing the sidewalk on the alley, zooms this motor scooter. It like went right by me really quickly. And I was like, whoa.
Almost, it didn't stop.
It didn't stop. Just went right past me. Almost hit me. And then I look because the person on the motor scooter, can't get quite onto Michigan Avenue traffic. So he zooms out of the alley for no reason. And guess who it is? I already told you, so you already know.
Who?
It's John Cusack.
What?
Here in Chicago. Well, it's just no surprise. But he has his backwards Cubs head on. It's funny because I was so ready to swear at this person, to yell. And I was like, hey, man, you almost... Oh, John Cusack.
I love that you immediately went, oh.
He almost killed me.
I would just still be like, hey, John Cusack.
Well, it's funny because I did kind of a double take, and I wasn't quite sure if it was him. But then, like, three other people, like, pulled out their phones. They're like, oh my God, it's John Cusack.
John Cusack almost killed you.
Yeah, exactly. And if there's a way to go... It's through John Cusack.
Through John
hitting
Cusack?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Sure. Maybe he would go to your funeral and hold up a big boombox just because he kills you.
Well, I mean, why not? He could play the...
Be like, come on, John Cusack. You killed him.
Right.
At least do him this one last thing.
Play me some songs on your way out before you go to trial.
I saw...
Because my parents will certainly sue you.
Right.
All of my money.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. All of his money,
of
certainly.
Course. I've seen him. I saw him last year. Last year or the year before. He was
right around here. Or?
He was at Pitchfork. Pitchfork Music Festival because the Beach Boys played. So he was on the side of the stage. Although when I saw him, he was wearing a bandana.
Yes. No, he was not wearing
and
a bandana.
He looked quite silly. I'm sorry.
He
John
was,
Cusack. But.
He was wearing. Yeah. In a bandana. Yeah.
Don't wear bandanas.
But he was in a Cubs backward Cubs hat, which obviously then brings up the point that he was not wearing a helmet.
That's
bothersome.
Not very safe.
No, it's not very safe, John Cusack. Come on, man. You almost killed me. You're going
to
kill yourself. That's the important
thing. This is a PSA.
Yeah, exactly.
John Cusack, if you're listening. Because he is.
He is. obviously.
Because he went, oh my gosh, I almost killed John Hansen. Oh, that's right. He's going to be on air from 7 to 11 on WGN Radio.
I better listen. What celebrity would you like to kill you? 312-981-7200. Who would you like to get hit by a bike by? No. But it was really, it was kind of a cool experience. And if it's going to be someone, it might as well be him. So what are your big plans for the birthday, Esmeralda? And, oh, by the way, yes, before you get to the plans, you know, it's not your birthday technically yet here, because that would be at midnight, although we'll talk a little bit more about your time of birth and how that factors into it. But it is your birthday in Iceland. So, according to Google, we would like to say to you, let's do it one more time to make sure. Thank you, Google Robot.
What's that mean?
That means happy birthday.
Oh, Esmeralda. Thanks, Google Robot.
Thank you, Google Robot. And so there you go. So in Iceland right now, 5 hours ahead,
everyone is celebrating.
Everyone is celebrating.
It's like New Year's there.
And the sun hasn't set there. And they're just...
So they're partying.
They're partying.
Listening to WGN Radio.
They're drinking. They're having an absolute blast out there.
Eating that fish and the sour cream. Right? What is that stuff?
What do you mean?
They eat fish. They eat the fish and it's in sour cream.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
312-981-7200.
Yeah,
fish and sour cream.
There's a fish. They're little fish.
Right. And you know, I was
someone knows.
Of course I was joking about who you would want, which celebrity you'd want to hit you with a bike or anything. But Matt, you've got one for us. Which celebrity, if you have to go, who do you want to hit you?
I would go for either Molly Ringwald or Kate Beckinsale.
I don't know who Kate Beckinsale is.
Beckinsale.
Oh, Beckinsale.
Would you want her to do something like from her movies, like from the Underworld movies where she kills vampires and stuff?
No. Well, okay, Molly Ringwald circa like the 80s, of course.
Right.
Kate could literally just be like in a pair of sweatpants, like yoga pants.
Wow, she didn't even get dressed up.
Still best death ever, because I can at least see you in person and be near you before I die.
All right.
Aww.
Yeah, this is such
That's
a great conversation.
Cute.
For that is so, what a cute way to die, Matt.
Morbidly adorable.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Matt, so much for the call. 312-981-7200.
By the way, we're getting texts. Herring.
Mm-hmm. Oh, herring. Right.
The 847 and the 262. Herring.
Right. That makes sense.
So herring and sour cream.
Okay. That makes
That's
sense
what they
to me.
Eat. I mean, not everybody, but you know.
Yeah, a lot of texts coming in. Pickled herring and sour cream.
Yeah, they're celebrating with pickled herring and sour cream.
There you go.
For
Esmeralda. Yeah. Well, we have an absolute packed show. I cannot wait for this meat to come
in
here.
I'm excited.
This is your suggestion from earlier on in the week. How did you get on this?
So one of the big trends right now is charcuterie.
Okay.
And I think I'm saying
charcuterie.
It right.
Sure.
Charcuterie, which is usually a cutting board with meats and cheeses.
That sounds
and
amazing.
And so we're going to have in some lovely people. Their father and son have been making they're salumi makers.
Right. And they have very Italian names, except for the name of the place.
Yeah,
and we don't quite know how to say it, so we're going
to
ask someone when they come in here.
I'm embarrassed to say.
I think it's Nduja
Artisans.
We're going to ask them how to say the name of their place, and then they're going to get us some meat as well.
Yeah, and they'll tell us all about salamis and different meats, and because you need to know,
right?
So you don't look stupid.
Exactly.
When the cutting board comes out.
Also, the one thing that we teased this with Ro and Anna, that we were talking about items that Chicagoans most need from 2 to 3 in the morning. So there's this app. It's called GoPuff, and it will bring you to your home anything that you need from like a convenience store.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we're talking through the top 10 things in Chicago that we need between the hours of 2 and 3 in the morning. Now, don't say like pizza, because that's a we're not talking restaurant food.
Right.
There are some food items on the list, but think of things that you'd get at the 7-Eleven.
Right.
Or your local corner store.
At 2 to 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So
On a weekend, I'm going to assume.
Well, you never know.
Or a good old Wednesday.
On a good old Wednesday, exactly.
That's fine, while you're listening to Nick DiGilio.
Hey, by the way, Esmeralda, we have a really special call for you right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Wally is calling in. And, Wally, where are you at?
Oh, what?
I'm in Venice, Italy, and I'm calling to wish Esmeralda a happy birthday because it's Saturday here already.
Oh, Wally, thanks. How do you say happy birthday in Italian?
I don't know. I actually live in Chicago. I was working in Germany last week and next week, and I'm in Italy for the weekend.
So how do you say it in German? So.
I don't know.
Wally, it's come okay. No.
Is it Buon Natale, though? That might be Christmas.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Hey, Wally, thanks. How was the weather? Well, I guess it's nighttime there, but is it nice in Venice
it's
this time
night,
of year?
It's like 2 o'clock. Yeah, it's a little bit after 2 o'clock. It was a beautiful day today. It's about 50 outside right now, so it's a little bit cool. But, yeah, beautiful day today in Venice.
Go have a cappuccino in St. Mark's on your Saturday afternoon out there.
I will tomorrow. But happy birthday, Esmeralda.
Thank you so much, Wally.
What a nice call. Have you ever gotten a call from Italy on your birthday?
Not at all. That's
so
exciting.
If anyone's listening in Russia or the Czechoslovakia or Czech Republic, I should say.
Is it Saturday? It's already Saturday in Asia, right?
Yeah, Saturday is in most of Asia, I believe. Yes, because the dateline, yes, would be Australia celebrated your birthday first.
Oh.
They're already over your birthday. They're already almost on to the next day.
That was early on in the day.
So wherever you are in the world, give us a call. The country code is 001. The area code is 312. And the phone number is 981-7200. We're going to take a quick break and get to more fun here on 720 WGN.
Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've had your rabies shots because here he comes, Mr. Don Rickles. Dean, I thank you for your wonderful introduction. You would love the evening if you knew you were here. We have so many great celebrities. Of course, I want to thank Neil Armstrong. Or Neil? Over here, Neil. You're down. Neil Armstrong, the great astronaut, said in the capsule, "Hey, man, it's the moon." But I kid you. You're a great hero. You've told me that time and time again.
It'll be a great Saturday in the park tomorrow. And it was so nice to hear some Don Rickles stuff.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere that someone on Twitter had said, one of the celebrities honoring him, it said something like, when he roasted you, you know, like when sometimes people get roasted, it seems nasty, it seems mean. Mm-hmm. And he could bite as hard as anyone else in those things. But most people that were roasted by him said they felt honored to be roasted.
Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah.
Because he just did it in such a... loving isn't the right word, but it is in a way. Like,
yeah,
it came from a place of respect, not mean.
For sure. No, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, you get roasted, but it's like, oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Don Rickles.
Yeah, very
sweet. Say all the mean things you want to me, because it seems like there was like a little twin. Like, there's love in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a love that you could feel.
720 WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon, filling in for Justin Kaufman in the download. It's Esmeralda's birthday tonight at midnight. We just had a call from Italy.
From Italy.
From Wally in Italy, which is not the most Italian name you've ever heard. Old Wally. And he, not that he's old or anything, but he couldn't remember. He didn't know how to say happy birthday in Italian. And it's
German.
Buon compleanno.
Okay.
Which I should know because I studied in Italy, but I couldn't remember. I knew it was buon something.
This works out completely. Because we're going to have an Andouja artisans.
Andouja, yes.
I don't know how to say it.
And someone let us know that charcuterie is technically just the meat, so that's what that covers.
Everyone
serves it with almost equal amounts of cheese.
Oh, well, that's even better.
One of the big questions that we are talking about, we'll be talking about this throughout the whole evening. We'd love to hear from you, 312-981-7200. We want to know, there is this app called GoPuff, an online ordering app that allows Chicagoans to order convenience store items late at night. And through all the data that they have had in the last few months since they launched about 9 months ago, there are about 12 really popular products in no particular order. And we're not going to reveal these all at once. We want you to guess them and see if they were on the list. And we did have one attempt at it, and it was from the 630, which said feminine hygiene products, which seems...
That makes sense.
I mean, answer,
that
riddle me this. Is that something, yeah?
I mean, that happens, you know. It pops up when any time of the day.
Doesn't matter.
Sometimes you might forget stuff, and then, you're in a lurch.
Well, does that make the top list? It does not. So between 2 and 3 in the morning, that's not one of the top 12 things.
So not enough women were interviewed.
Let me throw a little wrinkle in there, guys, as a man with a wife, and sometimes you are asked to get these particular female products and you're a little embarrassed sometimes, that would definitely be something that I would do late at night as opposed to having to actually go out and pick it up myself.
I see what you're saying. So
if
the wife in bed, you know, kind of taps you and goes, hey, I need this now, or I don't know how this even works. Clearly, I'm way out of my element talking about anything having to do with women particularly, but that would be something you'd want to order.
Now, would you tell her that you ordered it from there, or would you go, no, I went and I had to go to 3 stores. It was crazy.
Well, I mean, clearly if it's at 2 in the morning, I'm still there. I haven't left.
Well, you could walk to the door, open it, do like a sound effect like you're walking down the stairs.
Well, but, you know, but then the gig would be up if actually the doorbell rings 45 minutes later. Here are your tampons, guy.
We got your order. You could pop into the nearest bar for a drink.
Yeah.
And then come back.
Yeah, exactly.
And then,
I like your thinking, Rob.
You gotta think through this a little bit more. By the way, German, it looks like it's Fröhlich Geburtstag.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, sorry for that one. I just coughed up a lung while saying that. We have another guess, and it is condoms for something.
I mean,
and I want to say something. They're on the list, but as Alex Trebek would say in Jeopardy, be more specific. Condoms. There is a specific condom that is requested between 2 and 3 in the morning. So in Alex Trebek voice, be more specific. So we're going to be talking about this throughout the evening. And meat is coming up next. That's a great transition. So speaking of condoms, we got meat coming up in the next break. Give us a call 312-981-7200 or send us a text. Quick break, and then we'll have the news on 720 WGN. And a happy Friday evening, everyone. A gorgeous night in Chicago. You can just tell there's an energy on Michigan Avenue now.
So it's getting darker and the lights are shining in all the buildings, which I love to see.
So I was on the morning show. I work at UME on WCIU every morning.
Yes.
So quick shout out to that. And we have a shot every morning, obviously, of the lakefront and of the skyline. And this morning at 7 o'clock, when that sun was hitting those buildings, it just had that crisp look to it. It looks so gorgeous out there. And that's after 2 weeks of like not seeing the top halves of the buildings from all the cloud, the rain, the fog that we've had for 2 weeks.
Although I think that's kind of cool looking.
No, it is cool, but not after 10 days of it. And then you have to go outside into it. John Hanson, Esmeralda Liana, ahead of her birthday tonight on 720 WGN, filling in for Justin Kaufman. We've been talking about things that Chicagoans order from an app between 2 and 3 in the morning, the most ordered items. We had an answer of condoms earlier, and Alex Trebek asked for a more specific answer, and the 847 chimes in with Magnum condoms.
That's people thinking a little.
And that is correct. That is what
themselves.
It is. That is one of the top 10 items ordered is Magnum condoms. So apparently at 2 in the morning, you get a little bit more confident in yourself.
Yeah,
and you order those Magnum condoms. Ben and Jerry's was asked, and I asked for more specifics again. Mm-hmm. And I actually just realized there's 2 Ben and Jerry's on the list. Someone asked if it was Ben and Jerry's half-baked. And it is Ben and Jerry's.
There you go.
No surprise. Ding, ding, ding. We've also had an ask for cigarettes. Really need that fixed at 2 or 3 in the morning. It's not on this list. I don't know if they would get that for you. I don't know since it's an age restricted item. So I don't know. That's a wonderful guess, but I'm not entirely sure. So keep on chiming in. Give us a call 312-981-7200 or a text by the same thing. And to celebrate Esmeralda's birthday, I figured what better way than bringing in her favorite thing. Some meats. No, you've been fascinated by this all week long.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's such a big trend right now is charcuterie. If I'm even saying that correctly, and we have here Tony Fiasque. Did I say it right?
Did we say it right?
You said it right.
Yes.
All right. And you're from Andujar Artisans, which is you don't have a brick and mortar right now, but it's part of you're part of your family's been in the restaurant business a long time.
Right.
So walk us through your history and how you got started with this.
My parents are both from Italy, so I'm first generation here. And they opened up a restaurant on Harlem Avenue in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
Still on Harlem, a few miles south. Still open.
Mm-hmm.
So going 32 years strong. Just simple Italian food. The way my mother cooks at home is the way we cook at the restaurant.
That's so good.
No fuss, just high quality ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
This salumi thing kind of took off about 5 years ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our first product, the Andujar, which is a spicy spreadable salami.
Spreadable salami?
I like it.
I'd never even heard of that.
Most people haven't. It was only in this small little town where my grandfather's from. And someone brought some to my dad, a foodie at a restaurant, and he's like, "This isn't exactly it." You know, he goes, "How much are they charging for this?"
Mm-hmm.
So that's what kind of got the whole salumi thing started. We built a curing fridge above our restaurant, and on our days off, we'd go there and make sausage.
Nice.
And then we found a USDA plant to work out of about four years ago, and so we'd be just manufacturing and selling wholesale.
So if it so if you sell wholesale, so obviously people right now, as of right now, don't go to a place and they can get a plate of meat from you. How does it work out? Oh, they
go to
Mariano's. Okay.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, you have it at the restaurant.
So we don't have a brick and mortar, but we manufacture in a USDA plant. We sell all over the country.
Cool.
You'll find us in a lot of menus across the city.
Oh, nice.
We're Spiaggia, Fire.
All sorts of places, yeah.
Spakinopoli, sure.
Is it in your restaurant? In the
Dad
wouldn't let it.
We're like, no. Any other meats.
These kids.
Aside from the spreadable salami, what else do you guys offer?
So currently, we have a full line of products. We have over 24, 25 products from whole muscles. Your copa, speck, guanciale, which is from the cheeks. That's actually why.
Nice.
As we're opening this store, we're going to be transitioning, rebranding to Tempesta Artisan Salumi.
Mm-hmm.
And our storefront is going to be called Tempesta Market.
Ooh.
Oh, okay, great.
Because we're more than just Indusia.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right, exactly.
So you just said Tempesta Market. What is that opening soon? What is that going to be?
If everything works out this summer. You know how that goes.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, here in Chicago, right? Yeah. Things seem to take a little while.
And is it just going
to
be the... all the salamis and meats?
We're really, really excited for this project. So we're, my father has an old pasta extruder in the basement that was just collecting dust. So we're going to pull that out, be making fresh pastas.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have all our different salumi deli products. Plus, we'll be making, we don't do a lot of cooked products, cooked charcuterie. So we'll be making those in-house. And also sourcing stuff from some of our colleague artisan producers. There's a lot of great salumi makers across the country. And
I was going to ask, where does the meat come from mainly? I mean, is it...
Well, as far as the meat, you know, we highly believe in the way the animals are treated. So sourcing is very important for us in all kinds of ingredients. So we buy heritage hogs, which are not the mass-produced, the other white pork.
Right.
Know, pork okay, should have yeah. fat, you know, and it should be raised a certain way. And so that we're very conscious of how the animal's raised. And that I think that really... makes a difference in the finished product.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. And you brought us some.
Of course. I mean,
what do we got?
We would have kicked you out if you didn't bring some.
We'd be like, what? So what did you bring for us here?
Today I brought you five products, and I actually set them up for you.
Look at that.
To eat them from left to right.
Oh, just like reading.
Yes.
That's perfect. I know how to do that.
I like to make it simple for beginners. So.
Yeah.
So on...
all right. So what's first here?
So I see you have chorizo.
So actually on the left is going to be... Finocchiona, which is a fennel pollen, fennel seed, and Chianti salami.
Okay.
It has a little garlic in the background. So strong flavor, but the most mild. I'm going to take you up into spice and saturation. This way you kind of get all the nuances from the different products.
It's interesting. First of all, this tastes fantastic. And I like how it's a great introduction piece to it. This is really your passion. I can really tell just by telling the story through these meats. And the way that you want us to experience this. Do you advise? Is there a way people can find out exactly how to do this at home or something? Do you ever have a website anywhere where you list all this stuff out there?
We have a website, but I still, as we're still a small growing startup, I do so much stuff myself.
Just do a Facebook live of you eating meat.
Yeah.
And just be like, people, you eat along with me, folks.
Yeah. That might get into some odd territory. Yeah. So you said you grew up in the restaurants.
Yes.
You grew up going there. Was it just being there that sparked interest?
I was 2 years old when they opened the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I was there all the time, but I had a passion. You know, I was at 13, I would go bus tables. I'd hang out in the restaurant. At 16, I started working on cooking on the line and serving tables. And I had a short stint in culinary school that didn't totally work out, but that's neither here nor there. But you know, I've always loved it. I love food. I love creating things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The creative side of it is always what's great. Okay. What's meat number two, by the way?
Meat number two is a newer product for us. It's a chorizo. It's Spanish style.
Ooh.
The pepper there we sourced directly from Spain. It's actually the preferred pepper of Jose Andreas Group.
Oh, so it's, I like that guy.
It's not a Pimentón de la Vera, but it's called the Angel, El Angel. Mm-hmm. And it's It's just amazing.
Yeah, this is
nice. If you keep
eating
it, it just has like a great umami flavor.
People on Michigan Avenue right now are pressing their noses up to the glass as they look at this meat.
It's not scratch and sniff, guys.
You don't get any of my meat, people. Oh, that's going to make it.
Cool.
That's
going to
be, yeah.
No, this is so not the kind of chorizo you see, like Mexican style.
No, this is a Spanish style chorizo. So that's a dry cured sausage.
Oh, this is lovely.
This is really good. Okay, we're going to try the last three meats after a quick commercial break here on 720 WGN.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Oh, perfect Very intro good. Music into as we...
Oh, that's not pizza. It's sausage. Sausage.
720 WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon, the birthday girl, filling in for Justin Kaufman on the download. Before we get back to Andujar really quickly again, we're talking all night about what products people order from this app that gets you anything you want from a convenience store between 2 and 3 in the morning. They'll get it any time. But they have data on what Chicagoans order between 2 and 3 in the morning. So far on the list, what we've gotten are Ben and Jerry's half-baked ice cream, because they're very specific things, so we want specific answers. We've also gotten Trojan Magnum condoms. That's often ordered. We've had a lot of good guesses. Someone asked champagne. That's not on the list, but again, I don't know if booze is included in this.
Well,
so
you'd also have to... Okay, well, one, the laws... of the city of Chicago, you can't sell after a certain hour.
True.
So also 2 to 3, you would not have that. And you got to go to a fancy 7-Eleven if you're getting champagne.
Right.
Unless it's Corbell, I guess.
Unless, exactly. I have a few hints for people. Think of something that if you were to... I don't know how to say this. Let's say you've had a night of partying and you lay down and you start to not feel so good.
Gatorade.
That is actually one. That wasn't what I was going for with that one. Can you name the flavor, though?
Is it that blue one?
Well, you're close. Yeah, do you know it? Glacier Freeze is what it is.
Gross.
Glacier Freeze Gatorade is the third one. Andujar should be on this list, man.
Right?
Yeah. Send me to Mariano's and get me some spreadable salami and put it all over.
And crackers, please.
And crackers, please. This place smells incredible, by the way. This meat is just overtaking the studio. I love it. All right, Antonio, we've gotten through two of the meats, and what's number three here?
So number three is our soprazzata picante. It's a spicy...
Wait, one more time?
Soprazzata picante.
Hot
soprazzata.
Okay.
We import the peppers from Calabria ourselves, so this is actually going to start floral, almost a little bit sweet.
Okay.
And then the heat is going to hit you in the back
smell,
of the palate.
You can smell the pepper.
I got the floral.
Right off the
Here
bat.
It comes. Oh, it's escalating. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
It's a little spicy.
It's a little spicy, but it's good. Yeah, it's not overwhelming. It seems to come as if it's about to maybe overtake you, but then it slowly dulls away.
Where did you guys get the recipes? Like, how'd that come about?
A lot of them are family recipes. So my grandfather, who's actually still in Calabria, he's been making salumi for the better part of 75 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And then just like cooking, once you have the foundation, you can, you know, change. We have some other things that are not as traditional, because it's just the seasonings change.
Right. Do you guys experiment with like kind of out there stuff or?
We don't go
of...
too crazy.
No,
we don't go too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, we try to keep with the traditional and then just try to play around a little bit. Like we have a pink peppercorn salami that isn't something you really see too much. So that's really floral. But other than that, mostly traditional.
Very nice.
Hey, by the way, we got a text from the 847. They want you to remind them the name of the restaurant that you're talking about that your family's part of.
Agostino's.
Okay.
Agostino's.
On Harlem and Diversey.
Agostino's.
And then where is, if all, knock on wood, if all works out, where is the new, the market going to be?
New market is going to be 1372 West Grand Avenue.
Very
nice.
Yeah,
that's a great area.
We were talking about that area, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is in need of salami.
Three meats down, two more to go. And this next one, the next two actually, I'm really excited because there's a carb component to it. Anything on bread I will eat. I don't care what it is.
They're spreadable.
They're spreadable. So what is this fourth one?
So this fourth one would be something that's not necessarily traditional. We created this one.
Ooh.
It's a spreadable black truffle salami.
Oh.
We call it cremosa tartufata.
Ooh.
But also, we're very big on balance of flavor. So you see, usually truffles overdone or even the peppers overdone, but we use such high quality ingredients that we shoot for balance.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a lot of truffle flavor, but you're not going to get that kerosene.
Right.
Chemical
it's really
taste.
It's subtle.
I have a dumb question.
I would say.
What makes so when we buy most salamis or meats or whatever, what makes them hard and how is this different? How do you make it soft? Like, I mean, I guess in the processing, what's the difference?
The processing is exactly the same. So hopefully your cholesterol is okay. But here's the easiest
It'll
way.
Survive.
Here's the easiest way to explain it. Regular hard salami, dry, it's going to be about 75-80% lean.
Okay.
And the spreadables are like 75-80% fat. Think of it as like pork butter.
That's why I really liked it. By the way, pork butter may be
pork
the two
butter?
Best words ever put next to each other
like
in the history
should,
of the world.
You guys should sell those as pork butter.
Exactly.
We're trying.
People wouldn't buy it and be like, pork butter.
I'm in the business of selling fat. So.
Yeah, right? I mean, you could put that on anything. Think of all the things you put butter on that you could put pork butter on instead. Oh, wait, I got one. What if you're at the movie theater and it came out of the dispenser and you get pork butter on your popcorn?
Pork butter popcorn?
Oh, look at these ideas here. Induja's nice. Pork butter popcorn.
You could be the new avocado toast. Yes. Pork butter.
Okay, I don't want to end this parade, but what's the last one?
The
it's
last
another spreadable.
Is, the last is our Induja. So we had to, of course, try that. So that's what put us on the map. So this is going to be spicy spreadable, but it's not overpowering. It's got a nice spice level, again, with balance. And just like you said, the reason this is taking off so crazy is because of how many different ways you can use it. It's also, it renders really well, so I render it to make a vinaigrette or aioli.
Really?
If you make an eggs in the morning, you can just throw a little bit with your butter or olive oil. If you make an arrabbiata sauce, instead of putting crushed chilies, add some of this. So it adds a umami, depth of flavor, spice.
Very
nice. So that's why it's being used so much as an ingredient, and that's why it's really taking off.
You're finding so many different ways to put meat in people. It's great. You're really multi. I
have a fun job.
You really do.
What about the other, the harder ones? What can you do with that other than just, you know, serving it on a plate? Like you were talking about the eggs and stuff, but these are the harder ones.
Well, I mean, there's still a lot. I mean, the other one, the spread bowl is definitely more versatile. But, if you like to cook, there's a lot you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've been recipe testing with my mom for tempesta. And when it comes to Neapolitan cooking, they use salumi in a lot of different things. We made this, it's called panino imbottito. It's like a stuffed bread.
Ooh,
and you basically, it's almost like a roulade. You stuff it with cheese and salami. But you can do a lot of stuff. If you make a bolognese sauce with a meat sauce, instead of just doing raw meat, add some, you know, grind up some salami in there.
Okay.
So you're adding something that has a bigger depth of flavor.
I was going to say, because when you do bolognese with just the ground beef or something, I mean, it tastes good, but having a little spice in there, courtesy of the meat.
Yeah, and where can you find the sausages?
We're in all the Mariano's in the cheese section, and a lot of specialty stores like Pastoral, City Olive, Italy.
Spiaggia,
Italy. Well,
a lot of restaurants,
yes. Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, Italy.
But you can have your own restaurant at home.
Italy is like the Target of food.
I
go in there for like one thing and I end up just spending hours in there.
And you wander with your mouth open.
I wouldn't say the Target as far as the price points anyways.
Well, right.
It's a nice Target.
All I'm saying is I once went in Target to get a red pepper because they have a little grocery section and they ended walking out with a Roomba. So from from 50 cents to $500,
Shopping
I did return
problems.
It. Yeah.
No. I imagine you would walk out of the Eataly with just a big cheese wheel.
Exactly. Just run away with it. Actually, I'd get two of them, stick a stick in there, and roll out of there with
there
them.
Go.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Take me home, cheese wheel. All right, Antonio, this stuff was awesome. Thank you so much for stopping by
Thank
today.
Thank you very much for
Where
having me.
Where can you find website-wise? Where can they find you online?
Indujaartisans.com.
And spell that for people, just so you know.
Nduja.
I have it on your hat. That's how I've been able to see it.
Isans.com.
Antonio, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
Back with more on 720 WGN.
I want to ride my bicycle.
Actually, just got a cycle bike for my apartment, Esmeralda.
Nice.
Been riding
it. I love
it.
Spinning.
It hurts my butt. I'm just going
to
say that.
Yeah, you'll get used to it.
That's what everyone keeps on telling me.
Yeah, you'll get used to it.
Because I did one day for like an hour and felt great, and I tried to get on the next day, and I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Not happening.
You'll have a sore bum. It's okay.
I got a sore bum, but for a good reason. 312-981-7200. WGN, it's John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon filling in for Justin Kaufman of the Download. It's Esmeralda's birthday tonight. And next, we're so happy to be joined by Cam Buckner, who is with World Sports Chicago and part of an awesome event, Spin to Break the Cycle 2017. We're going to get to all those details. Cam, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, guys.
Oh, absolutely. Now, before we get to this awesome event, and it's a great great thing. We've been asking people all night, what are certain products that Chicagoans love to order from this app that will get anything for you? Any convenience store item, they will bring it to your home. So they compiled all the data. What do Chicagoans need most at 2 to 3 in the morning? To recap, the ones that people have guessed correctly are Trojan Magnum condoms. Pretty overambitious people there. Ben and Jerry's half-baked ice cream. There's still one more Ben and Jerry's out there. Esmeralda, you really got this one on the nose.
I know my 2 to 3 a.m. people.
Glacier Freeze Gatorade. She gave me a look at the specific flavor. Yeah. We had a text asking if Pepto-Bismol is on the list. It is. It is in tablet form, and people like Pepto-Bismol. Yeah, exactly. Cam, we wanted to get your guess.
Okay.
What do people order from this app? It's called, I can't remember the name of GoPuff. Yeah, GoPuff. What do they order between 2 and 3 in the morning?
If I were a betting man, which I'm not, I would say that's the time period for toilet paper.
And that is on the list. Toilet paper is on the list. Do you have a specific brand? Because I can tell you the brand here. That is...
I do not.
Okay, you don't have your specific thing. Scott's 2-ply toilet paper and a single roll of it is what people order.
Well, okay. Okay. I get that. Because if you're getting it from a convenience store, it's expensive.
That's true.
Yeah, so but if you're having...
You need one roll. I mean, you're not going to go through a roll by the time you can go to the store.
If you're having a human being drive to a convenience store at 2 in the morning, then bringing it to your home, I don't think price, the difference between 99 cents and $1.09 is going to matter.
Oh,
get the four-pack.
A four-pack is not $1.09.
Well, whatever it is.
I don't know what toilet paper you're buying.
Right. But the leaves outside. I just go and scavenge for leaves. All right, we do have something great and serious to talk about. Cam's like, why the heck did I come on the show?
Toilet paper talk.
Yeah, exactly. So Spin to Break the Cycle 2017, it's happening, in about 11 hours or so at the House of Blues, and you're taking over the venue known for its music, but you're putting a really cool spin on it,
Cam.
That's
right, yeah. So this is our fourth annual Spin to Break the Cycle. Mm-hmm. And the premise behind Spin to Break the Cycle is that folks from all around the city, from community groups, from corporate America, folks that volunteer in the sports world, they all come together to raise money for World Sports Chicago's programs. And what it is spinning to break the cycle of violence in the city.
Which is such an important thing. And obviously, I mean, I wish it was something we didn't have to talk about so much, but it's something that we do have to talk about and really focus on, especially since the cycle of violence that you mentioned, it just seems like the victims that we're hearing about are getting younger and younger. And I think that contributes to the cyclical nature of things. And it's just something that we have to find a way to come together and break.
It is, John, I'm a guy who grew up in this city. I grew up born and raised on the South Side, and I've seen my fair share of this up close and personal. And that's why this event and this organization means so much to me, because while sports is just a small piece of the puzzle, it is a piece. And while the violence that's going on in Chicago is not all of our fault, it is all of our responsibility, I think, to do our one piece to try to change it.
And what happens at the event?
So it's a high energy, high intensity. It's really a party, So we've got 100 plus spin bikes on the floor and on the stage of the House of Blues. We've got a live DJ. We've got five separate hours of spin classes with spin instructors from FFC and psychotherapy. And it's just, it's a great, great, great opportunity for folks to bond with their friends, with their coworkers. People usually bring teams.
Go in groups, yeah.
They go in groups, and it's just a really good time, and it's for a great cause.
Do people go for all 5 hours, or do they get one slot in there?
So you pick one slot, and you can do more than one if you want to. I've seen a few people do two or three.
Oh, my gosh.
People who are extremely ambitious. I tried to do 1.5 last year, and I didn't make it. but you can do as many as you want.
And I just love that it's transforming a venue. It's kind of like when they do the outdoor winter classics for the hockey.
Right.
And it's like, what is going on? We're in an outdoor baseball. It's just the juxtaposition of the two things. It's got to be so cool knowing how many great performers have performed in there that you're on that stage.
Right. Much like the winter classic, like you say, or like the Frozen Four, or like even, playing football in Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
It changes what you think about the venue. And when you think about the great acts that have been on the House of Blues stage, it makes it even better to spin in that place.
And you have great DJs too, right? That's part of it. You got to get people going.
We got great DJs, and as we talked about earlier this week, for folks who do not want to spin and just want to come and enjoy the food and the drinks and the DJ, they can do that too.
Yeah, this is what I focused on when Cam came on You and Me on WCIU earlier this week. One of our questions was, there's a buffet, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to be, you can go be supportive and just eat along while you watch your friends on the bikes.
We split it up into three things. So the ride, the rejuvenation, and the reception, right? So the ride is obviously the spin piece.
Mm-hmm.
The rejuvenation is afterwards. You know, we've got cool down stations and free massages for folks.
There we go.
And yeah. Then the reception is the food and the booze.
So, oh, there's and, booze.
Well, you need spinning. DJ. Yeah, I mean, spinning is hard.
I would consider the booze the rejuvenation. I would go in a different order.
It depends
there.
On how you look at it, right? Yeah.
This is a really cool event. Cam, stick around here because I want to talk about what this benefits, this World Sport Chicago.
Absolutely.
And I bet there's people out there that most people probably don't realize the really cool thing that World Sport Chicago came from. And we're going to reveal that after the break on 720 WGN. Soon, WGN-TV is just going to be all news, 24/7.
I
love it. I love it.
I love their news.
Oh, my God, I know.
And Mark Sapelsa is a silver fox. I don't
care
if anyone knows.
He truly is. I'm going to back you up on that
one.
I have
the biggest crush on Mark Sapelsa.
Oh, wow.
You're listening, Mark Sapelsa.
It's her birthday. You got to call in 312-91-7200. We've been asking people what Chicagoans order between 2 and 3 in the morning. We have already gotten Ben & Jerry's half-baked ice cream, but there is another Ben & Jerry's on there. And Ron, you think you know the answer. What's your guess, Ron?
Chunky Monkey.
Are you in an airplane with a door open right now, Ron?
He's about to jump out.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm DB Cooper.
DB Cooper, yeah, exactly. Ron, I got to tell you, it is not Chunky Monkey. It is another Ben & Jerry's ice cream besides Half Bake, and it's not Chunky Monkey. Thank you, Ron, and a safe flight on down. As you land, make sure you pull the ripcord at the appropriate time. That's important. Cam Buckner is joining us from World Sports Chicago ahead of their event, Spin to Break the Cycle 2017, which is tomorrow at the House of Blues. And people can there's still space for people to sign up, right, and all that jazz?
There is still some space left. Just a few spots.
Okay, so get on it.
So get on it if you're going to come on.
How do people get on that if they want
to
do it?
So www.spintobreakthecycle.com. Or if you feel lucky, just come up to the House of Blues tomorrow and see if you can find a slot.
A walk
in,
up,
and,
yeah.
Walk on in.
Ride your bike over and then hop on another bike.
Yeah, or just go to the buffet.
Exactly.
That works too.
Rejuvenate. So, Cam, we were talking during the break, and we have this really cool connection in a way. You're a U of I guy.
I am.
And you played football for the Illini.
I did.
And you played through some tough years, but then what was your last game?
Yeah, so the Rose Bowl in 2007.
Oh, nice.
I got there. We had some rough days, but we persevered and got to a much better spot towards the end.
Beat Ohio State.
Yeah, number one
in Columbus. Yeah, what was that like?
You can't describe it.
Yeah,
when you're there, it doesn't even feel real.
What did you play? What position?
Defensive tackle.
Yeah. I could see that.
What's your cheer? For the Illini. What do they do?
Oski Wawa or
Oski Wawa.
Oski Wawa. Oh,
and Lisa's a U of I girl, too.
Oh,
so.
My gosh.
Yeah, there
I'm
we go.
Outnumbered.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Kim, we're talking about the Spin the Break the Cycle, which, of course, is a really important thing. And it kind of piggybacks on what World Sport Chicago does, which is to try and give, kids a chance to play some sports. I mean, to occupy their lives with other things that will essentially keep them off the street, keep them busy, doing stuff and learning from it.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask anybody who works in a school or in a community kind of situation where when they're around kids a lot, they'll say kids don't have the opportunity to be kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dealing with grown-up problems and grown-up issues. So what World Sports Chicago does is we really just try to give them an opportunity to see themselves outside of their situation. So bring sports to them teach them, the life skills that you learn on the field, on the soccer pitch, or on the court. That really matter in life, right? So perseverance, hard work, teamwork, determination, all those things that we all use in our everyday lives that can really be fostered in the home through sport.
Can you really see that impact from kids that have gone through the program, that have done it for however long they need to do it for? And then it's a very tangible thing.
Right. Yeah. You see it. I mean, you see kids who are maybe have discipline problems, who change the way that they act. You see kids who may have been real insular and didn't talk to other folks, who become more outgoing. There is some clear and tangible evidence that these sports and these opportunities really give these young men and women a chance just to grow. And it's just great for them and for their communities as well.
So World Sport Chicago has a very interesting start to it.
Yeah.
So walk us through this.
Yeah. So in 2009, as we all know, Chicago lost the bid to be the 2016 Olympic City.
Mm-hmm.
And when that bid was over, the folks who stood up the bid, they got together and, they initially had decided they would, no matter win, lose, or draw, that they would leave a positive impact on Chicago through sports. Mm-hmm. We thought it was going to be through the bid or through an actual Olympic game, but that did not happen. So they got together and said they wanted to stay true to their word. And so they took the leftover money and resources, and World Sports Chicago began in earnest and began to kind of infiltrate neighborhoods and community groups and schools and parks, and just to bring sports and really Olympic type sports. So we've done wrestling and lacrosse, mm-hmm. and archery and rowing and things that are foreign to a lot of kids in Chicago. So we are the living legacy of Chicago 2016.
What a great legacy that is. I guess that there's one positive thing to come out of the fact that we didn't get the Olympics, and obviously that was a hugely controversial issue in Chicago. I know people were on both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Personally, I thought it would have been really cool. It would have been a pain. Would have been some bad traffic. Would have spent some money. But how cool would that have been to have the Olympics? I was watching it on TV at Rio. I was like, oh, man, it just would have been a great spotlight for us. But as we say, there's some positives that come out of everything. So was it just that you had some money and you had the infrastructure, so you had people already kind of thinking about this, and it was just people coming together and saying, all right, what are we going to do?
Yeah, and that was it. You know, I think one thing that I love about Chicago and Chicagoans is that we don't see challenges, we see opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And so we took that, which was a very sad day for a lot of people, and we moved it in the right direction. And we thought about how we could impact the neighborhoods and community in the most direct way, and it was the answer was obvious. It was the children, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so bringing the sports to the kids, giving them opportunity to play and grow and giving them access to these things. And so the infrastructure was there, the money was there, and you know, we've been going strong since. This is our 10th year, in existence, and we just continue to keep going.
Talk about the nuts and bolts of it. How does it actually work? Is it working with do you go to a school and say, hey, can we partner with you? Or does it matter, kids got to sign up somewhere? Or, how do people get involved?
So because we don't have, because we didn't get the games, we don't have any real estate, right? So we don't have stadiums and fields and whatnot. So we really meet people where they are. That's in the schools, that's at the parks, right? So we, for instance, we have a program that we are partnering with Chicago Public Schools with called CPS SCORE. SCORE stands for Sports Can Open. I just messed that up. Roads to excellence. Okay, and what we do is it's 4th through 8th grade sports. There's volleyball, there's wrestling, there's basketball, and you know, we've partnered with them to create a program, a robust program that you know really reaches the kids on that level. In other instances, we go out to neighborhoods and we figure out what they need the most, and we tie into some of their community groups. So
we ask questions and listen.
We meet people where they are. We try to fill gaps, and we try to work with assets that folks already have.
And can people come in and volunteer?
Absolutely. We love and we need and we thrive off volunteers. So our website is worldsportschicago.org. And if you go there, you can look at all the things that we're doing. And there are opportunities to sign up for the things that we are doing and really just give back to the city.
Did you say you had rowing or crew or something like that?
We've done rowing in the past.
All right, here's the thing. If you ever bring it back, here's what I want to volunteer. I want to be the guy at the front of the boat that just yells at the people.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Go. Yeah. You know, if I was one of those rowers, I would just get my oar out of the water and slap that guy upside the head, knock him in the water. We'd go a lot faster without him yelling,
At you.
I want to be the one in the other boat, because isn't there always a boat next to that boat? And the guy's just in there like, yep.
No, it's the guy in the front of the boat.
No, but
yells.
There's another one that just
kind
of follows
them. They have many people
him.
Yelling at you.
I've seen him, and he just kind of follows them. Like, you're doing good, guys. Go on.
I think that's the coach.
The cheerleader. That's
the cheerleaders. Get him on the boat.
I'm going to do that.
Cam Buckner, this is so cool. World Sports Chicago is great. What's the website for World Sports Chicago?
Yep, so it's www.worldsportschicago.org.
And spin to break the cycle. It's happening at the House of Blues tomorrow morning. Cam's going to get to bed because you got to get there early. As soon as House of Blues is closing tonight, you guys are moving on in.
That's right.
Yeah. Really? What was that website again? People want to.
For spin, www.spintobreakthecycle.com.
Very nice. Yep.
Cam, that's great stuff. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
More coming up here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon.
Hello.
It's her birthday.
Yes.
So if it was Iceland at the 7 and the 8 o'clock hour, I don't know, we're probably approaching Newfoundland would be next.
Okay. I was going to say Greenland. Ocean?
Greenland. Greenland is west of Iceland,
okay.
I think. So in Greenland, they are celebrating your birthday. They are
There's
killing caribou or something, crowds. And yes, they're gathering around fires. And
they're like, it's her birthday!
It's Esmeralda's birthday.
And real popular all around the world.
She's going to be celebrating at 2 a.m. this morning, too, because it'll be her actual birthday. She's going to order something from the app, which is called GoPuff. Mm-hmm. And for the past 9 months, they've gathered all the data here in Chicago. And what do Chicagoans order most between 2 and 3 in the morning? So far, we have correct guesses of Trojan Magnum condoms. Mm-hmm. We have a correct guess of Ben & Jerry's Half-Baked.
Which, by the way, just to let you know what's in it.
Yeah. I know.
Chocolate chip cookie dough. Fudge brownies, yes. And it's a chocolate vanilla ice cream mix.
That
are you kidding me? Yes, at 2 in the morning.
Amazing. Esmeralda got Glacier Freeze Gatorade. Cam, our last guest, got the toilet paper. It's Scott's 2-ply single roll toilet paper. There's one more Ben & Jerry's on there. We had another guest for Rocky Road, and that is not it. So it's not that. There's another one on there. It is close. Also, there's a drink on there. There's a couple different drinks on there, non-alcoholic ones. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for something besides Gatorade, two pops, whatever you'd prefer.
Are they the popular?
They are two popular ones. So let us know what you think. There's some candies on here and there's some munchies on here. So let us know the specifics which one they are. And we're going to get to some more of your answers coming up in just a bit. WGN, John Hansen and the birthday girl.
Yay.
In Greenland and Iceland and ice and Germany and Italy.
In most of Europe.
And soon it will be in America, Esmeralda's 21st birthday. Mm-hmm. We're so excited. If we're going to go with that, sounds good. 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us a happy birthday to her. We've been talking about things that Chicagoans order in the middle of the night from an app that gets things from the convenience stores. I teased that it was one item. Two of the items actually are non-alcoholic drinks. They're sodas or pops. So mm-hmm. Derek has a guess. Derek, what is your guess?
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew is not correct.
What?
But wow. I totally agree that of the people, you know, if they're getting half baked, the ice cream, or literally, you would think Mountain Dew would be the one. I agree with you, Derek. I thought
Gamers.
That would be the one. Do you have a second? Do you have a follow up soda guess, Derek? I'll give you another chance.
I'm thinking maybe like a Red Bull.
No, but we had a texter say a Red Bull. It is not a Red Bull. I think people just want to go to sleep at that time. Jeff, thanks. Derek, excuse me. Thank you so much for playing. Let's go over to Jeff. Jeff, you have a guess for a food item.
Frozen burritos.
Frozen burritos.
Makes sense.
Let me just double check. It is not on the list. But that's a great guess. I would love a frozen burrito at 2 in the morning. If I'm up at that time and I'm not working here, or even if I am working here, a frozen burrito, sounds absolutely perfect. So keep on getting those in. We've been guessing, and we'll go over some of the answers that I've gotten right so far and some of the other ones in just a little bit later. Esmeralda, we got to shift gears here, though, a little bit. And you have been talking about how we normally, whenever we fill in, you know, we love to keep it light. You know, there's a lot of politics out there, and we love people's opinions on politics. That's great, and we love when people chime in on other shows, but we usually like to keep it a little bit lighter. But after what's been happening this week, even before last night's airstrikes that rained down onto an airbase in Syria, the chemical attack, chemical weapons attack that came to light earlier on in the week, I think shocked a lot of people.
Yeah,
obviously, this has been
absolutely.
Going on for a long time. So we figured we had to talk about it a little bit, but what perspective do you and I have besides whatever all the talking heads are going to talk about? So we decided to reach out to, and I've had her on my public affairs show on WCIU, Suzanne Sahul. And Suzanne, thank you so much for joining us this evening and what must have been just a terrible week for you. You were born and raised in Syria, right?
Yes, I was. Thank you for having me. Yes, I was born in Syria, and I came to the United States at the age of 10.
So you still have, I imagine, just pleasant memories of Syria. And before we go on further, she's the founder and president of the Syrian Community Network, which is a great organization. Suzanne, really quickly, why don't you run through what you guys do?
So at the Syrian Community Network, we assist refugees who are resettled here in the Chicagoland area. We help them in their adjustments. We help with furnishings and clothing and anything that their basic needs. And additionally, we help connect them with mentors or volunteers so that they can also help them in their adjustments and so they can make new friends and just feel supported.
Just fit in. Just find a way to make life easier for people that are coming from a really different place. So what memories do you have? I mean, because I think the pictures that we see now, when I think of Syria, unfortunately, I think of Aleppo. I think of the damage, the destruction I've seen. Paint us a different picture of what it was like growing up there.
Well, growing up in Syria was really wonderful. We felt safe. We had we went to school. We had family. We lived with my grandfather, and just family was all around us. And just like any other normal kid in Chicago, went to school, had dinner, did homework, and we, you know, it was a very safe country. But since the start of the, you know, the conflict in 2011, things have just, you know, spun out of control. And unfortunately, we see now, you know, the chemical attacks and the fall of Aleppo and the bombing and destruction of schools, hospitals, and homes. And that's why you really have a refugee crisis, is because people cannot handle living under those circumstances anymore. And so they end up becoming refugees. And it's really very sad.
Obviously, the chemical weapons attack we saw last week has really raised the consciousness of everyday citizens and our president, seemingly maybe not aware maybe of the magnitude. But, I mean, you could speak to this. What we saw and the pictures we saw were horrifying, but they're nothing new.
Yes, they're nothing new. And I'm here speaking on my behalf now. This is not the first chemical attack that we've had in Syria. There have been over 170 attacks, and one of the worst ones was in 2013 on August 21st in Ghouta, and it's a suburb of Damascus. We actually have a refugee who is here in Chicago who is a survivor of the Ghouta gas attack, but unfortunately she lost her husband and her oldest son in that attack. So really, this is all happening under the watchful eyes of the international community. President Obama, unfortunately, allowed this to happen. He did not do anything. But now it's up to Trump. He's the leader of the United States, and he needs to, you know, take swift action. We're happy that, again, I'm speaking on my own behalf, I'm happy that he, you know, took action yesterday, last night. And I hope it continues, because the only way you can stop the bombing is to take out his air, his power in the air, basically, and where he can't throw barrel bombs on homes and neighborhoods and schools and you know, displace a whole population. Currently, you have, you know, half of the population are either refugees or just internally displaced within Syria. You have 5 million registered Syrian refugees with the UNHCR. This is the biggest global refugee crisis in our lifetime and the worst humanitarian crisis in our lifetime. So we need to really stop the carnage and protect civilians.
Suzanne, oh, go ahead, Esmeralda.
Well, I was just gonna ask you if you can elaborate a little further with your organization, just because a lot of people don't put a face to refugees. They just think they're coming here and they're not good for the country.
Right.
Can you just kind of elaborate and kind of give their side of the story?
Well, coming here, no one wants to be a refugee. Obviously, right. Nobody wants to leave their home and leave other loved ones. But they have to in order to reach safety for their children. And unfortunately, only 1% of any during any crisis or any conflict that refugees will be resettled in another country. So far here in the United States, we've resettled 18,000 Syrian refugees in comparison to the 5 million registered refugees. And in Chicago, in the Chicagoland area, we have about 145 families, and these are single mothers. We have a lot of children who are here, adorable children. We have doctors like Dr. Firas Shawish, who's studying to become recertified so that he can start residency and take his boards. We have many others like Huda, who is a single mom, and she's the gas attack survivor I talked about. She has four children, and that three of them are in high school and one is in grade school. And they're going to school in Evanston, and they're struggle with English, and they need help and they need support, but they're managing to, you know, make ends meet. She's working now at a factory. We help her with some rental assistance, because this is what we do. We want to help in their adjustment. In order to do that, they have to feel a sense of security in their city. And her children are, you know, picking up the English and working really hard. And she hopes that they will all become doctors and engineers and teachers and policemen, you know, in our community and serve the community.
Suzanne, I got to ask you a kind of a strange question. I don't know if you feel this way, and please tell me if you don't. But you and I just talked a couple of weeks ago when we were putting the Trump administration kind of feet to the fire in terms of the travel ban, and stuff like that. But then obviously you say that you support President Trump's actions last night. Is that a strange juxtaposition for you, the fact that he has taken action against Bashar al-Assad but doesn't want the refugees to come to the United States? Does that put you in a strange position?
Yes, because I feel that because we've let this conflict go on for so long and no one has taken any action, I am relieved that he has, you know, even if it's symbolic, if it's a symbolic gesture, to say that you cannot get away with bombing people using chemical attacks. And we have to send that message loud and clear. We in the United States will not allow this to happen. However, I really do want to emphasize that I hope that President Trump will have a change of heart. He will allow more Syrian refugees and other refugees from other conflicts to come to the United States. He lowered the number from 110,000 annually for refugees to be resettled to 50,000. And we've already resettled over 35,000 refugees in the United States. That means we only have 15,000 left to resettle in the U.S. until the end of the federal fiscal year, which is on end of September. So 15,000 from now until, you know, September is a very small amount. And mm-hmm. these are not just Syrian refugees, but refugees from every conflict, from the Congo, from Burma. We have Rohingya refugees in Chicago. And so we really would love to see him change his mind and really open his heart and raise that number back again where we are welcoming refugees, because we are a nation that's built by immigrants and refugees.
Absolutely. No one is more of a stronger critic of President Trump and some of his actions than myself. Mm-hmm. I have no problem spouting my feelings about the administration and some of the things they do, but I do try to give credit, I guess, where credit is due. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this might seem so trite to some people, but I was watching the press conference the other day, his reactions to it, and for the first time I sort of related to him, and it seemed like he actually was genuinely moved by some of the photos. And I think a lot of people immediately attacked him for it, saying, well, this is not new. But as I always say, it's better to be come to the party late than not at all. Do you feel that, I mean, and it's hard to guess what the president is thinking, but did you get that same sense that maybe that what happened, as terrible it was, might be the catalyst for continued, certainly at least Tomahawk airstrikes or something to take out Assad's ability to wage chemical warfare?
Yes, I think this is the right thing to do and the moral thing to do. President Clinton took action in Bosnia and in Kosovo, and it ended the genocide there. And I believe that if we can decapitate Assad's air power, we can really make a difference in the lives of Syrians, because right now the Assad regime controls the skies, and whoever controls the skies really is the one who's dropping the bombs on people. And so I'm glad he took this action. But again, as you mentioned, we are critical of his stance on immigrants and refugees and the undocumented and building the wall. These are all things that we do not agree with. And we ask that he take back those decisions and welcome everyone to this great country that can give them a new life, give refugees a new life and a new opportunity to have their children be in school and become our next future leaders, God willing.
If nothing else, it's amazing how sometimes politics and world affairs remind you, and it should never feel black and white. There are so many gray issues, and we try to so much unify behind a party or a person much that we like everything that he or she might do, or we hate everything that he or she may do. And the reality of the situation, obviously, is that there are disagreements within people's support and disagreements. Anyway, Suzanne, we're going to talk a little bit more about your organization. Do you mind staying on the line through the commercial break, and we'll chat right afterwards?
Sure.
Okay, more on 720 WGN right after this. WGN, some local music here, Esmeralda.
Yes, J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound. They're actually right now
at
playing
this very
at
minute.
Chop Shop. Yes.
And on WGN. Amazing.
Yeah. They have a new CD out, The Neon Jungle. So go check them out.
You know a lot about them.
They're great. I have a friend in the band. He plays keyboards, Jeremy Tromberg. Hi, Jeremy, even though you're playing.
He's playing. He's not listening right now.
He can sense it.
720 WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon, filling in for Justin Kaufman on the download. And we're talking about, I wish we were talking about something as upbeat as that, but it's obviously very important, what's happening in Syria after the airstrikes last night, and of course the chemical weapons attack of last week, and really the civil war for the past 6.5 years. And we are joined on the line by Suzanne Sahul, is the founder and president of the Syrian Community Network. We were chatting in the last break, Suzanne, about your history in Syria, growing up there till you were 10. And you have been back to the area recently, right, to the refugee camps, right?
Yes, I visited in Greece two times last year, and I've been to Jordan this past January, and before that, I've been to, you know, several missions to Jordan as well. But it's really sad to see people just waiting and just, you know, having no future and waiting. Do they go home or are they waiting for resettlement? Will they be resettled? And those are, you know, it's very difficult to live in limbo like that. I think it's, you know, very, very sad. And this is the most documented refugee crisis that we've seen, and still not much has happened in terms of stopping the root cause of the conflict.
Do you have any numbers? And I've heard reports. Did someone say, was it 500,000 people have died in Syria?
If not more, it's probably more, because there are people who are missing, and many families don't know if their loved ones are still alive or dead.
I got to ask a personal question. Do you still have family in Syria?
I have extended family,
okay.
But my husband has most of his family who are there, and it's really difficult to hear them, you know, to hear that they've been moving around from place to place and just to find security. Many people lost their homes. My sister-in-law actually lost her home, and so she's living in our, like, we had a summer home, so she's living there. But this is very common to see people moving from one area to the next. And this is what we call internally displaced people. And there's about 3 million internally displaced people within Syria moving from area to area just to seek safety before they go to a host country.
The geopolitical realities of the situation are what really complicates this. I think a lot of people who listen to this and maybe don't know too much about it, and I don't blame you, it's a complicated situation, say, well, then what the heck? Let's just go in there and let's knock this regime out and let's start over. Obviously, complicating the matters is the Russian situation. They seem to, for few reasons that they would feel were justified, are backing the Assad regime. And then obviously there's also the ISIL fight. This is not just a civil war between two factions. You have another complicating fact and a common enemy between Russia and us, which is ISIL. So given those geopolitical situations, Suzanne, is it a matter of kind of throwing your hands up in the air? Or do you wish that the American troops would go in there and storm in and change the regime?
You know, we have to remember that ISIL, why do we have ISIL? Because we have a vacuum of power. And when you saw all of this chaos that was happening in 2011, 12, and 13, and no one came to the rescue of the civilians, well, then people became attracted to these groups because, well, no one's going to come and help us, so we might as well help ourselves, right? So this is the kind of like the scenario that happened. And out of that was born these, you know, different groups, these crazies that, you know, think that they're going to uphold some kind of, you know, prehistoric, you know, law,
right,
and, you know, and terrorizing their own people. And it's just, it's really difficult. But this is what happens. One, you just leave it up to the people to defend themselves, and people are angry. They feel that the whole world let them down. No one came to the rescue of the Syrians, even though early on President Obama said Assad lost his legitimacy. He needs to leave. But we didn't back up our words with any action.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if we had done what we did in Bosnia and Kosovo, I think the dynamics would have been different. We would not have had this refugee crisis. We would have, you know, ended, you know, this carnage that's been happening. I mean, what else can happen in Syria? I mean, we, you know, again, this is my personal hat
right.
that I'm wearing right now. Mm-hmm. We do need to, you know, take out this monster who has been terrorizing his people. You know, how long can this last?
Right.
And the Syrian people have felt abandoned. They feel angry. They were asking for help for so many times. And the fact that we've seen all the footage on YouTube and Facebook and everything, and still the world has not moved. I'd like everyone, you know, to look up the Caesar pictures. You know, this is a person who defected from the army, from the Syrian army, and who took thousands of pictures of people detained in the Assad regime prisons, his infamous prisons, where they were tortured, they were starved to death, they were burned alive. And, you know, and these are all online. So this is not, you know, for me.
There's no excuse.
They're called Caesars. Yeah, Caesar. And he testified in front of the United Nations. He, you know, and his exhibit went up in the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. And still, you know, we have been dragging our feet and have not done anything. And I believe President Obama, yes, he's to blame. But now we have a new president, and we need to make sure that he, God willing, that he would take action and do something right for the Syrian
right.
people.
Regardless of political affiliation, I think we all can agree that we can rally behind hopefully, yeah. I mean, I know, and this is a, there's a lot of obviously hawk versus dove situation with yeah. fighting and stuff like that. There's a lot of complicated things, and I respect all the opinions across the aisle. But I think I speak for, well, I certainly speak for myself that I hope that the president can find success in this because it is an important world issue. Suzanne, really quickly before we let you go, I want to end on at least a little positive note. Your organization is incredible. It does great work. Again, it mentors, it helps people, Syrian refugees that come to the United States. You know, I don't want to say assimilated because that has that word has a lot of connotations to it, but just to feel normal, feel like Chicagoans. And how can people help out if they're listening and they say, you know, maybe I can help? How can they do that?
Well, they can go on our website, Syrian Community Network. They can fill out the volunteer form and become and volunteer with us to help a family in their adjustment and in their integration. You can help us find resources and programs that we can register these kids in. Right now, we're registering the kids for the SIAC school. That's part of the art museum. The SIAC school reached out to us and offered classes for the kids to do drawing and, you know, amazing things with art. So we're so appreciative of that. We have so many people reaching out to us to offer us programs. So we would be really, we would welcome anything, any help that people would bring to us. And as you mentioned, you want them to feel like this is their city. And the more they make new friends and, you know, especially if people who speak different languages, the more they feel that they're comfortable. We have volunteers from every faith group. We have Jewish volunteers. We have Christian volunteers from every denomination, every church. Mm-hmm. We have Arabic speaking. We have Indo-Pakistani. We have, you don't need language. They're you know, figuring it out through their apps on the telephone, and their kids sometimes help out. And it's really beautiful to see them make new friends and feel like they're part of the city.
Suzanne, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's always great to talk to you, Suzanne. Again, that is the Syrian Community Network. And yeah, it is their city. They're here. You know what? Everyone comes from somewhere else. I came from Downers Grove, and I'm still welcomed here. It doesn't matter if we come from near or far. When you are in Chicago, this is your city, and you should be welcomed with open arms no matter what.
And it's also an opportunity. There's, you know, these kids are the future. They're the future, and they're going to grow up, and they education and everything, and they could become great things
and
help this country.
Absolutely. We got a few great texts that I'm going to get to in just a little bit, but first we got to take a quick break here on 720 WGN.
Stop! Not good. What are you doing? You burned all the food, the shade, the rum.
Yes, the rum is gone.
Why is the rum gone?
One, because it is a vile drink that turns even the most respectable men into complete scoundrels. Two, that signal is over 1,000 feet high. The entire Royal Navy is out looking for me. Do you really think that there is even the slightest chance that they won't see it?
But why is the rum gone?
She's a liar.
She is a liar. Of course, that's Pirates of the Caribbean. Why is the rum gone? Well, it's not gone in here. It is filled up. We're ready to start drinking, and it's ahead of Rum Fest. Whoa, I just popped there. I got excited for that Rum Fest.
Excited for rum.
Sorry about that. Oh, by the way, before we introduce our guest, actually, we might as well bring him in right now. Gerald, I got to say this. It's Gerald O'Kennard.
O'Kennard.
O'Kennard. Okay, O'Kennard. Sorry. I was trying to say it very Irish-like.
It's okay. Oh,
yes. Gerald O'Kennard, beverage contributor, and you've done all sorts of radio and TV all over the country and all over the world, and you're going to be showing us some rum here ahead of Rum Fest.
Definitely, 100%.
It's the Midwest Rum Festival. It's the third annual one. Esmeralda's going for her birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, awesome. My birthday, so it's extra special.
And it's in the Logan Square neighborhood at the auditorium at 2539 North Kedzie Boulevard in Chicago. Okay, so Gerald, all night long we've been talking about, there is this app, I don't know if you've heard about it, it's called GoPuff. And it is an app that delivers anything to your door from a convenience store. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a rush, you need something, you forgot something, and they've compiled data from the last 9 months to try and identify what Chicagoans order most between 2 and 3 in the morning. So maybe after you come home from Run Fest, or what do you need? You need an emergency and you don't want to leave the house. So far, we have guessed toilet paper. One of our guests guessed that, and that's correct. Pepto-Bismol came from a texter. They were correct. Trojan Magnum condoms, very specific. Someone got that. Someone got one of the Ben & Jerry's of Half-Baked. Esmeralda got the Glacier Freeze. We have a text in for Sprite. And that is on the list. That is one of the drinks apparently people want. Do you have anything between 2 or 3 in the morning that you would, you guess you would need at that hour?
Yeah, two things come to mind, ginger ale and aspirin.
There you go.
A lot of people have been asking for aspirin. Shockingly, it's not on here. I think that's probably more from 8 to 9 in the morning.
Right, yep.
You're not thinking ahead there. But ginger ale, that's a good one. Yeah, those are more hangover. But if you're planning ahead,
exactly,
pop some before you go to bed. Mm-hmm. So talk about Midwest Rum Fest, how to get it started, and what do you love about it?
Well, Midwest Rum Fest was started by Federico Hernandez, a gentleman from Puerto Rico. So they have a deep connection with rum in Puerto Rico,
yeah,
as you know.
He's an expert just from living there.
Exactly, exactly. So he put on festivals there, and he decided, let's give America, you know, continental America here a shot. And he's been doing it for Chicago for the second. This is the second year. He's had one in California for a number of years. And basically, it's to introduce people to high-quality rums, not just rums that you're going to mix away into a cocktail, but something that you can sip. So today, I brought sipping rums for us.
That's
and
nice.
And that's the thing. People usually don't think of rum as a sipping liquor. So,
but they should.
They should. Yeah.
Well, especially if you consider that prices for whiskey, your whiskey drinker, John, those prices have been going up and up and up as demand has been going up. So what other brown spirits are out there that really are well-aged, well-made, and deliver high levels of taste and satisfaction? So rum is like a natural pivot for a whiskey drinker. So I hope to convince you of that today.
Well, and you mentioned convincing because we talked about during the break. And I think everyone has an experience, and 312-981-7200, back us up, if this has ever happened to you. Maybe in one of your early times drinking, which was me in college, I had a night where I had way too many rum and Diet Cokes. I'm sure it was the wellest of the rums, the bottomest of shelves. They had to go down to the basement, then dig a hole and bring up that rum. For me,
it's rum with
for my dollar Diet Coke and rum, I had one too many of them, and then I just, for whatever reason, I can't have a rum and Coke. Certainly, I've had daiquiris on the boat. I went on a cruise. I had so much rum in my daiquiris; it was really good. But you don't really, for the cheap rum, taste it necessarily. So I'm trying to be convinced today. I'm coming into this with an open barrel mind.
Good.
So,
yeah, and I'm not by any means suggesting that you ditch all the daiquiris and pina coladas, those wonderful drinks. I mean, rum is a very versatile spirit. It doesn't have to be pigeonholed into cocktails. But I think what the thing is that people don't know that there are these quality rums. And I brought some rums that are light white rums that are sipping rums, as well as dark rums, because people always think, oh, I'm going to sip a dark spirit.
But right. What's the difference between the two? Yeah.
Well, okay, it's aging. So all spirits come off the still clear, right?
Right.
So they're unaged or lightly aged and then filtered. So that's the definition of white rum. Some of the nations age it for a year or two and then filter any of the color out to get a more robust flavor, but not, you know, a darker color.
Mm-hmm.
And so darker rums, you know, starting from gold rums, which are aged for a year or two, to dark rums, which can be 2 to 6 years, all the way up to age rums, which are, we have a 21-year-old rum that you're going to try here tonight.
As old as Esmeralda.
Yep. Exactly.
Look at that.
Exactly.
Actually, just a little bit older. Yeah, until midnight at least. And when you're talking about the distilling process, most of the craft rum or the local rums or the more high-end rums, they're only using what's called like the hearts, right? The middle of the distilling process.
That's right.
Right.
That's true for all distillations. If you're going to get a quality spirit, whether it's a mezcal, a tequila, a whiskey, or a rum, you have a distiller that really wants to get rid of the high and low alcohols. That's where a lot of those things that can give you a headache are found. And so what you find is that the higher quality products are less likely to do that because they just don't contain those chemicals in it because they're taking such a tight cut, that heart of the distillate.
And you know how I know that? I listened to Brian Noonan 2 weeks ago when he was talking about this stuff. That's the only reason I know.
Also, you got a little,
primer.
Primer, there you go.
Yeah.
So right. Let's.
Yeah, let's try
it. Let's try it.
Okay, Esmeralda's like, I've already finished three of these.
She's got a glass in her hand, John. Come on.
It's her birthday.
She's ready to roll. Okay, so the first rum, and this is a white rum, so I wanted to introduce the idea that white rums can have complexity and smoothness and kind of classy character. So this is called the Banks Five Island Rum. It's a blend of white rums and amber rums from five islands in the Caribbean.
I just want to make sure I grabbed the right one. The one on the left?
The left of the first
cup. The clear one.
Yeah,
okay.
The first row for you.
I smelled it, and it immediately, I mean, it smells good.
Uh-huh.
It's got some really interesting notes on the nose. And it kind of brought me back a little bit. All right, let's not to college. It brought me back.
No.
Actually, made me lean back. All right, let's
character.
Do you spin it all like wine?
Sure,
just to
do
mix
that
it
if
up.
You want. Just don't take a sniff right after because you're releasing the alcohol. So just wait a second after the alcohol.
Okay.
After you swirl it.
Well, let's sip this together, everyone.
The first, nose it. Sip it.
Okay.
Right.
It's It's smooth on the front. Mm-hmm. It's got some edge as it goes through.
It's got a little burny, but it's like a nice.
But not bad.
Spoon.
It's kind of like a.
It's a warming.
Kind of little like grappa, the way grappa like eats through a big meal, you know, it like warms all the way down.
Totally. Yeah,
by the way, I'm really glad I walked here so I can Uber on home later on. So what's in this one again? What's the characteristics?
So this is a blend. It's called the Banks Five Island Rum. So it's a new introduction, and they are blending basically white rums from five different islands, from Trinidad, Guyana, Jamaica. So each of those islands has different processes. Like the Jamaican rums are pot-stilled rums, so you're getting this kind of complex pot-still-like character you would get from a whiskey, but you can get it in a rum.
Five islands. Still have 995 more to go to make a good salad dressing, but that's pretty good.
And rum is sugar. Sugar cane.
So
you said that confidently and backed off.
Well, kind of like it's sugar cane, but
right. Well, that's a very good point, and we're going to actually taste the difference between rum that's made from molasses, like this one, and rum that's made from pure sugar cane juice.
Ooh,
okay. So
that's more my speed.
So this rum is made from molasses.
Okay.
As most rums, I'd say 90% of the rums in the world are made from molasses,
like melted down sort of.
Well, it's molasses is a byproduct of the sugar refinery.
Back up even further. What's molasses?
So when you refine sugar, you're constantly purifying the sugar into crystals, and you're leaving off residue. That's the molasses. So it's perfectly usable. It has a lower sugar content than sugar cane juice. And that is a commodity that exists around the world. You can buy it. You know, some islands produce it. Other islands sell to other islands. And it's a very stable product that's easy to use. And traditionally, that's called rum industrial.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that term. We're going to get to another term for
good
fresh
stuff.
And would you say the white rums are kind of the basic, like, for most cocktails and things like that?
Exactly. White rums are, there are more white rums sold than any other kind of rums, and that's exactly right, because they're used for cocktails. These ones have the complexity where you can go either way. You could just do a cube and be done with it, or you could put it in a cocktail and have a very complex kind of daiquiri.
All right, let's have one more before we go to our break. What's this one in the middle here?
The one is in the middle is from Venezuela, which is a famous rum-producing nation, and this is the Diplomatico, and it's their Blanco. It's a new expression from them. It's called the Planas.
The Planas. Okay. The Diplomatico. This is what they serve at the UN for a big meeting, a diplomatic affair.
Right.
All right, let's take a sip. Not as strong on the smell, I will say, before I went on there, which is good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I like that you're doing them.
I got to give some sound effects so people know what's happening. Mm. It is still radio. Sharper.
Sharper.
Sharper cuts.
Yes, there's a little more alcohol. The first one we had was 43% alcohol, 86 proof. This one is 45, 90 proof. So there is
by the end of these, we're going to be able to start a car on this stuff.
We're just going to go up the ladder here, guys.
Sorry to interrupt. I apologize.
No, not at all. So this one is designed specifically to be a sipping style that has a lot of robust character. So it's made in the Spanish style. Mm-hmm. So a little drier. There's still that fundamental creamy kind of rum sweetness in the center of it, though.
All right. The third annual Midwest Rum Festival coming up tomorrow, right? Logan Square Neighborhood at Logan Square Auditorium. We're going to get the rest of the details coming up, but we've still got four more of these suckers to try here on 720 WGN. Before we get to more rum, Esmeralda, what do you got for us?
Yeah, this week on Chicago's
Best. Does it
best
fit with the music?
Leave it
the
does. Music up. This no, is perfect. It kind of does.
Here we go.
This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot cruise around town looking for the best bang for your buck. Chicago's Best Meal Deal, Sunday night at 10 on WGN TV.
If you didn't know, normally the live reads are without the music, but we thought we'd add a little flavor to
it. A little pizzazz.
Worked out perfectly. It wasn't the kind of second Dylan read.
Right, no.
That would not be appropriate, but a great organization there as well. Okay, you're listening to WGN 720, and we're talking about the third annual Midwest Rum Festival, which is happening tomorrow, and Gerald's joining us right now. You've given us so many rums to try, and I just wanted to mention that, Gerald, your son is a freshman at University of Illinois.
That's right, Alexander is.
Not great for Alexander, good, not to frighten you, but I was a freshman at U of I when my terrible rum experience happened.
Oh, no.
So he might be down there. But he's studying computer science.
He's
studying
computer science. He knows better.
He's not going to have a drink for a long time.
Really?
That's not him. That's not him.
All right, good.
He's real busy studying.
I got to say, that's probably a good idea. So we're talking about the event. And before we get to a couple more rums, I wanted to break down. It happens more in the afternoon. It's the afternoon. It's an afternoon sort of thing tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it is. Exactly. There's a trade session from, I believe, noon to 1, and then the consumer session from 2 till 5:30.
And are there still tickets available, or is it sold out?
No, there's still tickets
available.
Okay,
good,
yeah,
good.
Definitely. Just go to the Midwest Rum Fest site and buy the tickets there.
That's really good news. Nice. And we've been trying some of the, I don't want to say lighter, the white rum.
The
is
white
it
rum.
Yes. White or dark? Is that what
you
call it?
White, light, dark, or, you know, white rums are, you know, is a pretty standard term. So
right.
The other ones have different ones depending on the color, if it's gold or amber or dark or
right.
aged. Okay.
But we're trying the white one. So yeah. We've done two now, so we're going to try the third one.
So remember when we were talking about what rum's made from, and we said it could be made from molasses mm-hmm. or fresh cane juice? This mm-hmm. third one is made from the fresh cane juice. So you'll notice a difference
okay.
in the aroma and the flavor on this. So let's get into this one.
Even the smell, I can already tell.
Yeah.
It's a little more pleasant, I guess you could say. Mm. Is that a right word
yeah,
to use?
Yeah, that sounds great to
I'm
me.
Just using the words that I use when I talk about craft beer. And even that, I'm usually faking it, but I...
It translates, right?
It does, yeah, it does.
It kind of smells tequila-y.
Interesting, okay.
Interesting.
I don't know why that...
That's just because you took a shot at tequila during the break.
I did, yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a sip. I'll make all the sound effects. Here we go. Okay.
So you can taste...
I don't want to say sweeter, but warmer. I don't mm-hmm. know. What was that? Everyone out there, they want... Well, they're a little too young to be drinking some of this stuff.
Away,
it's warmer on the tongue.
It's warmer. But you know what's interesting? This is 80 proof. This is the lowest proof that we've had so far.
So that I would believe that. It doesn't cut as much, I guess
yeah,
you could
little,
say.
It's smooth.
Right.
It's
and you're getting smooth. More. It's interesting you said agave because this is made from fresh cane juice, which, you know, cane is a grass. So it mm-hmm. has that kind of grassy, stalky,
oh.
almost agave kind of green note to it.
Okay.
And that's very distinctive for these. This is called rum agricole. That's the other style of rum that's made from fresh cane juice.
Mm, that's really good.
And so this is from the island of Martinique, which
oh,
is a
yeah.
French island. And so the agricole rums they're protected by an AOC designation, just like you would have a wine from France. You have mm-hmm. AOC Martinique rum. So it's a very particular controlled style made in a certain way with fresh cane juice.
Oh, like champagne?
Exactly.
You can't call it.
Yeah, it's from a region specific.
It's an appellation okay. controlled.
So I don't want to put you under the bus in case you don't if you don't know this, but obviously we're talking about these Caribbean islands.
Yeah.
And so do we know the origins of who was the first to distill it? Or is it like the origins of many alcoholics? It was trial by error, and we inherited it from the people that were originally on these islands.
Yeah. So, well, cane, sugar cane, the crop, came from the South Asian or Indian Ocean. So it came from probably Guam, somewhere around mm-hmm. there. And it was brought over, actually, when the colonization happened. So they brought the crop over to the islands. So it's been in the New World since the, you know, 1400s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically when you started to get sugar refineries, molasses, and then shortly thereafter, rum. So
right.
as far as who produced it first, the islands like to argue about that. Some mm-hmm. say we have the oldest distillery. Other people say we have this land grant from the king, and then we were making it obviously because we had a plantation, but somewhere in the 14th century for certain you would have the first rums being made in the islands, which one is always a matter of debate.
Because we spent some time just briefly on our cruise in St. Kitts, which was a huge sugar cane producer. In fact, they're still they were overrun by sugar cane and the population. I imagine that they've got a lot of tasty rum there too. I mean, the whole Caribbean is just obviously drooling in rum.
Yeah,
is that
rum
even
central,
the right word?
Right?
It's rum. It's
yeah.
rum central.
But not every island produces rum.
Interesting.
There are islands that basically just will import it and they'll put their own brands and so forth on
mm-hmm.
it. But not every island does produce rum.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, we got to get to the other, the ambers, the darker ones. But we
yes.
got to actually, we're moving along here quickly. We got to take a quick commercial break. More with Gerald from the 3rd Annual Midwest Rum Fest coming up right after this break. WGN. That was a surprise. Bill Leff stopped on into the studio.
Yeah, Bill Leff came in. He had lunch. He was at lunch just now.
At Howells and Hood. So let's see. His show ended at, well, they did the extraterrestrial hour at noon. So 1 o'clock till about 9:30. That's a nice long lunch.
It's a very long lunch. Like he said, he's French.
Exactly. 720 WGN. John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon, the birthday girl.
Yeah.
All right, so we're in the 9 o'clock hour. We've already had on Iceland and Greenland. We've got to be at Newfoundland has now celebrated.
I think we're in the middle of the ocean right now.
I think we're reaching
the
eastern
fishes.
Shores of Canada.
Yeah, the fishes are celebrating.
The
birthday
fish
right
are
now.
Not the mm-hmm. really chilly fishes.
Whales,
some icebergs,
dolphins,
perhaps.
Yes,
the northern Atlantic
polar
is
bears.
Really enjoying.
You're right, Newfoundland. It's 12:09 a.m.
Look
there we
at
go.
That.
And they're all singing "Happy Birthday"
in their Canadian, very polite
yes.
Canadian ways.
They've lined up.
Happy birthday, Miss.
Oh.
Leon, exactly.
Thank you.
You know those Canadians. We're talking about the third annual Midwest Rum Festival. You might can tell that we've had a little bit of the sampling here. And, Gerald, you've been mentioned again who you're with, and you're one of the vendors in the educational side of things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so I run a company called Tastings.com. We're based here in Chicago. We review wine, beer, and spirits.
That's very wonderful.
Nice. And the ones that we're tasting are the top ones, right?
Yes. Yeah, these are some of the winners from our rum competition
very
this year.
Nice.
And it's Gerald O'Kennard. I wrote it down here, but my handwriting must have been after the first rum drink because I could not read it. But I have the note here now. Gerald O'Kennard.
That's it.
Yeah, www.tastings.com. Okay, so we've done the white rums.
Yes.
And now we're advancing. So these, again, are a little bit more aged.
Yes. So we're going to go, you know, in the fourth gear here. We're jumping. Okay, we're going to go to a 21-year-old rum I told you
we're
about.
Jumping right to the Esmeralda rum.
Yeah, it's my age.
Exactly. So this is a rum called the Appleton Estate 21-year-old rum.
Mm-hmm.
And this is made from Jamaican. This is a Jamaican product. And it uses the pot stills that we talked about from the first one that used, mm-hmm. Pot still component. This is all pot still. Super long age. Very complex. I'll let you tell me what you think of it.
I
yeah,
smelled
can
it.
Smell that
and my
sweet.
Body shook. And you can smell the booze in there. I mean, like, really, that made me.
But it's really sweet smelling.
Yes.
It made me quiver. Is that a dirty word? I think it could
no.
be. All right, let's. Well, yeah. All right, here we go. Ooh.
Hello.
Ooh.
I like that one.
It's like a little oaky.
That's right.
Ooh.
Right. So has it been in a barrel? Or?
It's been in a barrel for 21 years.
Oh, okay. Goodness.
Wow. Till right now?
Till right this second.
I'm sorry you had to log that barrel in here, by the way. We had him rolling up the barrel up the stairs here from Lower Wacker up to. We didn't help him at all. But no, this is really good stuff.
Do they use specific barrels?
Yes. So many rum producers actually use ex-bourbon barrels because bourbon guys are done with them, they can't use them anymore.
Right.
So they sell it to the rum guys. And so you have a lot of that whiskey barrel kind of complexity in there, too.
Yeah.
No wonder why I like it so much. You know, there's like a whole secondary market for bourbon barrels now. Of course, you have so many craft beers that are made in bourbon barrels to age those things.
Exactly.
This seems silly, but it's nice that there's a way to reuse these sorts of things.
Oh, I know. And they're used by the Scotch whiskey industry, the tequila industry. You see American barrels. I travel around the world going in distilleries. Mm-hmm. You see the Jack Daniels, the Wild Turkey barrels everywhere, even in Brazil when I was there.
I think it's perfect that it's a 21-year-old rum because anyone that takes a sip out of it on their 21st birthday, they are celebrating they were born the same year that the rum was born.
It's very topical.
That took a lot to get through that sentence, by the way. I think everyone knew what I was trying to say. I hope it came through. By the way, 312-981-7200 if you have any questions about rum. We'll hope Gerald can answer. We did have one person text, and I'm trying to find it right now.
Yeah, about the Myers.
Oh, Myers Dark.
Sure.
It's a rum you've had before.
Sure. Yeah, it's a Jamaican rum. It's a dark rum, so it has a component of that pot still in there, too, as well as regular column still. Two different kinds of stills, two different kinds of flavors. It's very good, mixing rum used to make a lot of classic cocktails that call for a dark rum.
How many days of the week on average do you drink at least a little rum?
For me, rum is probably a couple times a month. You see, we taste about 5,000 products at my company.
Wow.
So when I come home, I'm usually doing the opposite of what we had. Like if we did a rum tasting, I want a beer. If we did wine or if we did beer, I'd want a wine. So I'm always contrarian as far as my personal drinking.
Yeah.
Everything at work, we spit out.
How did you get into this?
Like most interesting jobs, an interesting way. I was in the food industry running a catering company, and one of our colleagues was a sommelier. He went to work for this company, Beverage Testing Institute, and it seemed a lot more interesting than things I was doing, so I came on board.
Because there's a lot of people listening right now that have had some cocktails. They're like, I'd be good at this.
It tastes good.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is good.
A lot of training.
Really is a refined skill.
Yeah, is it a thing you have to train your mouth and your palate?
Yeah, and your mind, really. It's like, what does this taste like? How do you put a word to something, that's ephemeral, like a taste,
Right. Were you a fan of Frasier?
I was a fan of Frasier.
Of course, Frasier and Niles would go back and forth in their wine clubs, and I didn't know a single thing they were saying, but I'm mimicking all of it. That's how I'm drawing inspiration for what I'm saying.
That's right. It's a good basis.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, let's go with rum number five.
Rum number five. Now, this is a very interesting thing that's happening. We know in Scotch whiskey that a lot of interesting whiskeys are made with different finishes. So they'll start aging their Scotch in an ex-bourbon barrel, and then for a number of years, they'll age in like a Sauternes barrel, Bordeaux barrel. This is aged in an Oloroso sherry barrel. So very similar to like the style you might associate with Macallan, for instance, a scotch that uses a sherry barrel. So this is the Abuelo. I want to get the name right here. It's a 15-year-old rum in an Oloroso sherry cask finish.
I like this one.
Yes.
This is smooth. It feels good. I feel happy. It's. I think this is my favorite one to sip. Happy. I think it's the easiest one to sip, I will say, of the five so far.
It has a little more fruitiness, too, to balance out kind of the oak and the spice from it. It's made in Panama, very skilled master distiller. And what's interesting is you're starting to see these kind of aged rums come out in different wood finishes. Mm-hmm. Like there were three that we saw from this company. And it's just fascinating because you get more flavors to play with.
So when you guys, when you were trying all of these and trying to get the best one, what do you look for in a really good tasting rum?
That's a great question. Well, they say the money's in the finish. Like in the previous one and this one, you really sense that there's a length to it, you know, that the flavors keep on evolving and going on. They'll even change in the glass. If, you know, we're using plastic cups today, but if you had a nosing glass, you would swirl it and you would find that over time, you would get different kinds of fruits and spices and caramels like you were getting before, but they would evolve. And so we look for that kind of complexity.
For anyone that's rolling their eyes at all this right now, and I think people do, like when I talk about craft beer, people roll their eyes.
Yeah.
Is it a matter of, you know, don't knock until you try it, you know, experience it and see what you think?
Be open to it. We have to be very open because we see a lot of new categories of things. We saw Taiwanese whiskey a few years ago, and, you know, some of the judges were like, oh, Taiwanese, what is it, knockoff or something? It turned out to be some of the best whiskeys we've ever had. So you have to be very open to these things.
All right, we have a caller who actually has a question. Mickey, you're on the line. You got a question about a certain kind of rum, right?
Are you talking to Mickey now?
Oh, yeah, Mickey, yeah, this is you, right?
Right. Well, it wasn't so much a question as a statement about rum was actually a vehicle to deliver prevention for scurvy. Because rum...
Oh, because of the limes.
I'm sorry?
Because of the limes.
Well, rum in the old days, what you would do to make grog is you would take rum and... you'd mix it with water and a bit of a squeeze of lemon or lime and a bit of sugar and water. And that's how they prevented scurvy.
Really?
Getting the vitamin C in there from the lime or the lemon.
Honestly, that's why I'm drinking it right now, perversely.
Well, I'm telling you, you're going to keep your teeth from falling out.
Perfect. Well, that's always the fear.
That's great. And I never knew why my parents took me to the dentist. I just figured just keep on teething my teeth with whiskey. Okay. And you were nodding along to what Mickey was saying.
Sure. No, Mickey's exactly right. That was used by the navies around the world as a way to keep their sailors healthy and also a little happy with the rum, I think, too.
Right.
Yeah. It's
you
a tough life,
just,
you know?
You can't just eat limes and lemons straight up.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
You have to mix them with something.
Okay, we're going to try rum number 6 after this commercial break. You're okay with sticking around?
Sounds
you
awesome.
Filled the whole hour here with the rum. We're so happy you're here. More coming up with Esmeralda and John Hanson here on 720 WGN. John Hanson and the beautiful panda bib wearing Esmeralda Leon celebrating her.
I know.
Well, we're drinking, we're eating. You know, you got to have that bib ready to go for leftovers a little bit later on.
Exactly.
Celebrating her 21st birthday with some 21-year-old rum, courtesy of the folks at the 3rd Annual Midwest Rum Festival. We're here with Gerald Okennard, the director of Tastings, the beverage Testing Institute. For more, go to tastings.com. Tastings and testing. That's a lot to say back
it
to
is.
Back.
It is. That's why we changed the brand to Tastings. It's a lot easier.
Yes, it is.
But we do.
I got a question for you, and we've been trying all these rums, if you can't tell, and you can give us a call 312-981-7200 or text us. My dad texted because he reminded me about something called Mount Gay Extra Old, a type of rum. I know I've tried it, but one of our neighbors is such a fan of it that anytime we go to the Caribbean or my dad goes to the Caribbean with my mom, he instructs him to bring back some of this stuff. What is Mount Gay Extra Old?
Sure. It's a very good rum. I enjoy that rum, too. So it's a rum from Barbados, and Barbados is a famous rum-producing island. They claim to be the first distillery in the Caribbean from 1703, if I remember correctly. So it's a wonderful aged product. So it's similar to the ones that we've tried where it's long aged. a lot of complexity in character. You get like tropical fruits and caramel and spice. Oh. It's really good.
When we talk about craft beer and how there's been a resurgence of it, of course, across the country, do you notice that with craft distilleries too?
Oh, certainly. It went hand in hand. Well, I mean, the breweries probably went first in terms of getting there, but the same phenomenon's happening in distilleries. We're exploding with distilleries. Local distilleries are popping up. Bartenders mm-hmm. are really hip to trying local spirits first and kind of giving these guys a shot. So it's really got legs, and you're going to see many more distilleries open up.
Do you recommend people give it a shot to try it at home? I mean, it's a little bit of an investment. I mean, to get it, unlike beer, we just bought like a bucket. And like that was, it was really simple, like a bucket and a big spoon, yeah. And then the ingredients. It seems like a distillery process, obviously, is a little bit more on the front end.
Yeah, so you have to put a little bit more money into making a craft spirit. So the best way to do it, I think, is to go to bars that carry them and try them there. Have your bartender mm-hmm. make you drinks with them and talk to them and figure out what they're enjoying, and then take it from there. I think that's the best way.
Don't do it in your bathtub.
Nice. No. Well, don't distill on your own because that's illegal. I'm talking about just exploring the category.
Don't do that.
No one does it at home? Am I going crazy?
No.
I thought people distilled at home. Maybe they do and it's
illegal.
Yes, the bathtub gin is legal still. It hasn't changed.
Oh, my gosh. Here I was like, who's trying it? Okay.
So trying all these rums,
what
is good to eat with rum?
Oh,
great question.
What's a good pairing?
Rums really go well, and you'll find pastry chefs using rum all the time. Mm-hmm. So I like pairing them with desserts. You know, chocolates, pastries, pies, even just vanilla ice cream.
It's
a great pairing.
Because it's the natural combination
combination. Well, think about a milkshake. You put a little rum into it, right? Well, just have a little profiterole with your rum.
Right.
Ooh, I like it.
A little Ben & Jerry's, Lisa was chiming in. Yeah. We've been talking all night long about the items that Chicagoans order from 2 to 3 in the morning, and a lot of it is some Ben & Jerry's stuff. I'm just going to reveal, by the way, the other Ben & Jerry's flavor right now.
Mm-hmm.
Half-baked is one of them. The other one is milk and cookies.
Makes sense. You want a little milk and cookies before
bed? Pour some rum in that.
There you go.
Then take a Pepto-Bismol, use the toilet paper in the morning, and you're fine.
It's a party.
You're in good shape. Okay. We'll take it up to the highest gear they go. What do you got for us?
Okay, so remember when we had that Agricole rum that was a white rum and it had all that interesting kind of grassy character?
Yes.
Now we've got the aged version of it. This is the Clément XO, like XO Cognac. So this is aged for at least 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the island of Martinique. So now you've got the wood kind of in the cognac sort of style coming through.
That is a very robust flavor profile. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. It still holds the tendency of being smooth. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cut down my throat or anything like that.
It kind of tastes like scotch.
Good call.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Look at you, Esmeralda.
Thank you.
Good call.
Thank you.
That's really
good.
But
it doesn't have that like bite to it.
Yeah, the aging gets rid of a lot of that bite. And so each island and each producer has their own techniques and styles and everything. And so you basically have a huge palette of taste to try from. And so you are going to come to the Rum Fest, try a bunch. You're going to like some more than others. And those are the ones you can stick to.
For anyone that's a skeptic like I was, is it just something you'd say, come and, try a couple of them. You're going to have a good time no matter what. Come with friends. Come as a group. And no matter what, you're going to try something new. I think that's the fun part about it.
And you'll find something you like. I guarantee it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's MidwestRumFest.com if you want to get tickets, find out more info. And this is tomorrow in Logan Square neighborhood, Logan Square Auditorium, 2539 Kedzie.
Yep.
And you,
and I was going to say, if you want to educate yourself about the different rum categories and our recommendations, go to tastings.com.
Tastings.com.
You're going to like the way you drink. He guarantees it. It's just like the Men's Warehouse slogan there.
That's right.
There. Absolutely. Gerald, thank you so much for stopping on by today.
Thank you so much. Absolutely.
This was really, it was, I find it fascinating. I knew nothing about rum on the way in, and now I know a lot about it. I've had a lot of it on the way out.
Success.
Exactly. All right, we've got to take a quick break here on 720 WGN. Television 720 WGN. That's some the 92s here on 720 WGN. And formerly of the 92s, right, is Dan Durley. That band is not continually in motion right now, but it was one of your bands that you used to be in, right?
Yeah, they're still a band. We just play a little bit less often.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Oh, so you haven't broken up or anything
no,
like that.
No.
There's no heartache there.
You're on your own at the moment.
Yes.
So, Dan, you're no stranger to the music scene here in the Midwest. You've played in three different regional touring acts over the past 10 years. You got six official releases under your belt, including the critically acclaimed full-length album Television Fuzz, which was released with your noisy pop band, the 92s, and now Stonefeet. So is that the project you're working on now?
Yes.
And first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank
you came right after the rum, so what a good time to be here.
I got mine on reserve.
Yeah, you're doing just fine. So tell us about your start in music here in the area.
Oh, man. I grew up in the Chicagoland area. My dad put a guitar in my hand when I was six, and I just really haven't stopped. I've been playing in bands somewhat, you know, professionally for the last 12 years or so.
Did you have formal training or?
Yeah, I took lessons for a while, but a lot. It was just my formal training is, you know, playing in people's sweaty basement.
That's my formal training too, but it has nothing to do with playing music.
Yeah.
Were you in band in high school too, or was it always just straight up guitar? Did you play other instruments too growing up?
Yeah, I played like clarinet in band, but that was kind of short lived.
Okay.
Like, this is my main.
This
thing.
Is your love.
Yeah.
And what do you love about it? Ooh. I mean, that's a really open ended question, but yeah. I mean, any artist has that reason why they do those things through pain, through heartache, through everything. Yeah. You still do it.
It's mostly just. It's an outlet, you know, as most people will say. I get to say whatever I want and do whatever I want within this context, and that's really cathartic. And at this point, I've been doing it so long that it's like a compulsion. I can't stop.
You can't stop.
Oh, very nice. Well, let's not stop you any further.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit. What are you going to play for us here to start things off?
So I'm getting ready to put out this solo record. I'm going to play a couple songs off of that. This one's going to be called Claws.
Claws. How do you spell Claws. That?
C-L-A-W-S. Oh. Claws.
Like I thought you said animal, Claws. John.
How much rum?
I don't know how much you were drinking.
Yeah, really. Okay. Here's Claws. You should consider naming it Claws. Just you should actually come up with a new song.
Absolutely.
That'll be in the next hour. We'll have you play for Patty's show, Claws. But first,
Claws.
Go ahead. Let's hear Claws.
Stop.
That was awesome, Dan. That was so cool.
That was great.
Thank you.
God, you know, I did not expect that voice.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, I knew it would be good, but mm-hmm. man, you can hit those upper registers with no problem as he takes a sip of water. Like, yeah, no problem. So obviously you draw inspiration from, like many musicians do, high points and low points in life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what was her name behind the clause?
Well, here's the thing. It's not like... I like to call it like historical fiction, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So everything is influenced by my own life, but it's
right.
all over the place.
It's a little embellished. You know? I mean, Taylor Swift hasn't dated that many people,
exactly.
is what you're saying. Yeah,
exactly.
That's really beautiful, okay. though.
Thank you.
So, what other types of ranges of music do you do? Is it, or do you really focus sort of on that, you know, that slower stuff, or do you have all sorts of different stuff that you're experimenting with?
I experiment with a lot of things, but mostly. Anything different has its own project. So, mm-hmm. you know, like if it's a little grungier, I save it for the 92s. I have another band called Nice Things that is kind of in flux right now, but that's like kind of heavier uh-huh. stuff.
That's so nice, though, to have now. Those other, you know, to have all those options and feel like your creative side, no matter what it is, what you're feeling has a place.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, I like everything and I write all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it would be weird for me to put the... grungier stuff,
right.
just me and a guitar.
Right.
You know?
So right. what are your influences?
I love anybody who knows how to, you know, write a good pop song, but does it in kind of a weird way. I love Wilco. Wilco's
yeah.
like my favorite band mm-hmm. ever. I mean, I'm a big Beatles guy, as everybody
yeah.
is.
Right.
Weezer, I love like good... tight pop music.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're gonna hear from more later on, but I just really quickly before we go to break, where can people find your music if they heard that and they gotta get going, want to make sure they know where to go?
Absolutely. So I only have one song out for my solo project right now, but I just announced that the record is coming out on May 31st, and in the meantime you can check out the one song that I got out called Got No Money on SoundCloud, Dan Durley Music. Follow me on Twitter, Dan Durley Tweets is what the Twitter handle is, and I post all my stuff out there.
Wait, the song is called Got No Money?
Yeah.
You should start a GoFundMe campaign.
Yeah. yeah.
Should be like, you know, here's the GoFundMe, Got No Money. Do we want to hear a song to break, or do we want to do it after the break? Anything up to you? Do you want to take another moment, or do you want to play us something to a commercial break? We can do it afterwards, too. This is what I should have planned out beforehand.
It's cool. We're flying by
this
the
is called producing on the
fly
events.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I can play another one. That's fine.
Yeah. I don't want to strain you out too much. If you've got to retune
cool.
stuff, you're messing with the fret thing there. Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
It's a guitar.
Yeah.
What
the fret? Yeah. Strings.
No, but the thing where you move the frets.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
All right. His name is Dan Durley, and what are we going to hear next?
This is Got No Money. I'll play that
one. Oh, this is... Oh, good. Perfect. All right. I don't have any either, so I can't
Ditto.
Give you some after the end of the song, if that's what you were hoping for. All right, Dan, take cool. us to break.
I know I got no money, but I got all of you. I'm working on a lot of things, I guess I don't know what to do. I got too much to think about, doing too much sitting around. Got holes in my pockets, one pair of shoes, but I got all of you. I know I need more money, just throw it in the queue. And I worry about a lot of things, but worrying ain't gonna do. I got too much to drink about, need more booze to go around. I got so lost that I'm turning blue, I need more of you. Thank you.
That's awesome, Dan. You even got some whistling in there.
Thank you.
It's I like a good whistle.
I love a good whistle. More with Dan Durley coming up here on 720 WGN. We were... I love... That's what we bump in with Esmeralda's aw. Aw, that's okay. Yeah, we're going to hear more music from Dan Durley in just a second. So we were going to play a little bit from 92. So how did you guys... Is that like the year you were all born? Please don't say yes.
I mean, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, my God. 1992? Oh,
yeah. There, yeah.
That's okay.
No, I don't... That's not a bad way to name a band. I'm just saying that I'm shocked that's what it is.
Yeah.
They're older than I am.
Barely. It's Esmeralda's birthday.
I'm 21.
Yeah, no. Happy birthday. Hey, so you have a triple release show? Is that, did I get that right? At the Empty Bottle next month?
Yes.
What does that mean?
So there's three bands on it.
Okay.
Each band is like releasing a record that day.
Okay.
So, and by I call myself a band. So it's me, another band, Terra Terra, who are a great Chicago band, and then Mateus, who are also a great Chicago band.
Do you like playing at the Empty Bottle? Have you done it before?
This is actually going to be my first show playing.
Oh, okay.
But it's a great spot.
It's a great spot. Yeah. Do you like the... I mean, do you love playing live? Is that something you really enjoy, that experience? Or does it grind on you? Does it wear on you?
Oh, no. I love playing live. It's... I mean, there are times when it... If you have a bad show, it's bad, you know? But otherwise, especially with... playing with bands, that's, you know, the most fun.
Yeah.
When a show goes well, it's the most
fun. Well, I mean, it's just that instant satisfaction you get from that audience.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You said with the three bands, or the two other bands you're playing with, you all kind of came up together?
Yeah, we all have some connection to coming up through Champaign-Urbana when we were there for school.
Boy, it has been a U of I show.
That's all it is.
Everyone.
It should be the U of I show.
It should be, absolutely. Hey, so, Dan, we've been talking all evening long. As Patty Vasquez now is coming in here and realizing we have a bunch of sausage and rum in here. She's like, what is happening in there? Yeah, major sausage fest. By the way, Esmeralda made love to pork butter for the entire night. We'll explain more of that later on.
Yep.
So we've been asking this question all night long. GoPuff is this app that delivers convenience store stuff to homes all over Chicago if you need it, whatever you might need. And we're not talking about like food from restaurants. We're just talking about things that you might see on the shelves. Mm-hmm. So... And they have all this data for what Chicagoans order between 2 and 3 in the morning. So kind of the witching hour. So after they go see a show of yours, they dance, they drink, they might do some other things, and then they go home. What would be what you would need from a convenience store 2 to 3 in the morning that you'd have to have delivered? You wouldn't want to go get yourself.
Oh, man.
Or you just didn't have the energy for it.
Like booze and ramen noodles. So,
yes, ramen noodles is on there. Yes,
nice.
Chicken ramen noodles is on the top 12. You mentioned booze. Other people have mentioned booze. People have mentioned cigarettes. We don't know if the company does that because those are obviously age restricted items. I didn't look into it. All right, so you got ramen noodles.
Ramen.
That's obviously savory. Is there any candy or sweet thing that you would like? One specific thing that you might crave between 2 and 3 in the morning?
I'm big on like chewy gummy stuff, like Sour Patch Kids, stuff like
that. Sour Patch Kids.
I'm surprised that's not the one on the list. There's a very specific, there's a chocolatey item, and there's a more sweet item.
Skittles.
It's not Skittles. That would be mine. That would absolutely be mine. Huh. I'm going to give this one away because I don't think anyone's going to get it. 312-981-7200. What do Chicagoans need most from 2 to 3 in the morning? And the sweet one is Nerds Rope.
Oh,
which I didn't even know was a thing. Oh, I know nerds are a thing. You know, Dan's like, I know nerds rope. What is it?
It's like this little gooey rope, and you stick a bunch of nerds on it.
Okay, right. It's exactly what it sounds like.
Exactly what it sounds.
It's like licorice with nerds on it. Yeah.
So
yeah.
People like their nerds rope. Okay, I'll give a few more hints because I want to finish this up, the whole list, and see if everyone can guess it by the end of the show, which is 11 o'clock. 312-981-7200 if you guess it. We've already got nerds rope. We just got chicken ramen noodles. We got Ben and Jerry's half baked. We've got Glacier Freeze Gatorade, which Esmeralda got, that specifically.
Yeah, I did.
We've got a chocolatey one. We've already gotten Sprite. Oh, and someone did guess Coke, and Coca-Cola was the other one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of bland.
Just goes, wait, there's ramen noodles here.
No, there is pork butter here. And there isn't even any of that anymore. We already got toilet paper. We got Pepto-Bismol. We got Trojan Magnum condoms, and we got Ben and Jerry's milk and cookies. So we actually only need two. So one of them is, I'll give a hint, it's a chocolatey one. What's the chocolatey candy you'd want to order?
Snickers.
No. And also one would be more in the chip realm. The chip realm. I will Pringles. Say. That would be in the realm, but that is not it. But that once you pop, you cannot stop.
Wait, like a chocolate?
No. Excuse me. Wait. It is like a crispy baked, something baked. Baked or...
Lay's?
No, it's not Lay's, but you're getting...
Baked?
You're getting oilier.
Chip?
Chips Ahoy was a guess. It is not... I think that was taking it literally. Someone asked, can of SpaghettiOs or Chef Boyardee ravioli? That's not it. The chocolatey guess we got from the 847 is Kit Kat. That is not it. So we're trying to see 2 to 3 in the morning. We're going to answer these as the show continues. We're going to have more music from Dan Durley in just a second. You're listening to 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It's John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon on her birthday.
Yay!
Yay, having some fun. And we're joined by Dan Durley, who's been playing some music. And what we've been doing lately is trying to guess what Chicagoans order between 2 and 3 in the morning. We're going to get to news in just a second, but we've got someone on the line who's been holding for a while, Pino. Is it Pinot Noir that you're going to guess, or what do you got for us?
No, Pringles.
Pringles, that's a great guess. That is not correct, unfortunately. That is not the chip realm sort of thing that we're going for, but a great guess. You got a second one, a second guess by any chance?
Well, if it wasn't Pringles, it would be... No, I don't.
Nope, he just wants his Pringles. Pino, thank you so much for the guess. Okay, let's go to... we got Bonnie. Bonnie, what is your guess for the chocolatey item?
The chocolatey item would be... Hostess Cupcakes.
That's a good one.
That's a great guess. That is not the answer. Dang, great guess, though, Bonnie. That was a good guess. And let's go to another chocolatey answer. Lori, what do you think?
I think the chocolatey item should be Frango Mints.
It should be.
That's
a great one. It is not Frango Mints. I'm so sorry, Lori. Thanks for trying, though.
Sure.
There is no winner for this, by the way. I have nothing to give people.
Just the
pride.
The pride that you can guess things.
269, guess Hostess. That's not it. Oh, we just found out we can give away a pizza.
Patty has donated.
Patty Vasquez, pretty late, donating a pizza for whoever gets the, let's say, the chocolatey one. So if you get the chocolatey one, actually, whoever gets the next one first. So it's one more chocolatey item and one more savory chip sort of item.
So there's a clue.
Savory chip-like. Might not be. It's chip-like. It's in a bag. You open it. You eat it like chips. Is that chip-like enough? Am I getting sassy?
Sure. Pork rinds?
It's not pork rinds. No, it's not. But keep on guessing and we'll get you a pizza. WGN on a Friday night. This is the 92s, which is one of Dan Durley's bands. And Dan, what song is that we're hearing there?
It's called Gone Away.
Gone Away.
Yeah.
I like it. It's so perfect for this time of the evening, too.
Yeah.
Feels really
well, you're
good.
Half gone away, so.
Well, we had a lot of rum here. I'm trying to hold it together. Okay, so we've been asking people what they can get from 2 to 3 in the morning. What do Chicagoans want most? Goldfish, no. Chex Mix, no. We're looking for a savory chip-like item, meaning you open a bag and you eat it, and we're also looking for a chocolatey item. We've got baked Cheetos. Close. We will not accept that. Doritos, great answer. That is not correct. Tortilla chips, that's a great guess. No. Funyuns, which I thought might be it, but that is not it. But that's another great guess. So for the savory one, we actually go to Dan, who had it. The chip-like thing, what is it?
Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Hot Cheetos. Unfortunately, you're a guest, so you're not winning the pizza.
Yeah.
We're not going to give
get
it to
accolades.
You. And actually, after you said it, I will say someone also did text in Flaming Hot Cheetos,
sure.
But it came after the buzzer, unfortunately. So the last item that we're talking about that people get on GoPuff, which is an app, is a chocolatey sort of item. We got a few guesses out here for that. Susan, why don't you go ahead? What's your guess?
Chocolate shake or chocolate gelato?
A chocolate shake or chocolate gelato, that sounds good, but that is not... I'm sure it's somewhere on the list, Susan, but unfortunately, that is not the answer we are looking for. I wanted to go to Joanne really quickly. I know that you now realize you didn't win the chip category, but Joanne, what was your guess?
What, for the chocolate or the...
No, for the chip-like thing. You had a guess, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I had the cheese puff.
Cheese puff. Mm. See, that's great. That is an awesome... attempt at an answer. I think cheese puffs would be what I would go to over Flaming Hot Cheetos. Joanne, do you have a chocolate guess while I got you on the line?
I was going to say Eminem.
That's a great guess. We're getting kind of closer, but that is not it. I'm sorry, Joanne. So let's go to Denise. Denise, do you have a guess for the chocolate one?
Reese's peanut butter.
That is right.
Ding, ding, ding,
that
ding.
Is the answer, oh. Denise. Now, have you used this service, or just late at night sometimes? Do you have some Reese's Pieces peanut butter cups, or what?
I have not used the service, but I'm a late night person, and I love peanut butter.
King size, or do you do with the individual ones?
Individual.
How do you eat your peanut butter cup? Sorry, I'm getting really into this. Because I like to chew around the edges and kind of get the ridge off and then kind of like scrape the peanut butter off with my teeth. I know that sounds strange.
My.
Or do you just chomp right into it, Denise? Come on, tell us. Do you have a special way you eat your Reese's peanut butter cups?
I prefer the peanut butter, so I do like the eggs with more peanut butter.
Oh, okay. I see. Oh, the Reese's peanut butter ones. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, and those are very popular on Easter time. Well, congratulations, Denise. You are our winner tonight, so you get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, of course, the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com, and you can put the Reese's pieces on top of that or in. You can stuff it in there, Denise. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, it's all going to the same place. What?
That's true. It's all pipes, just like George Costanza used to say. It's
all, throw it all in there.
Pipes. Doesn't matter where it's going. Okay, Dan Durley, do you feel that we've wasted too much of your time here? Or do you enjoy the conversation?
No, I love it. It's great.
Oh, by the way, so download the GoPuff app if you want something late at night that you want to get from a convenience store if you ever need it. Especially all those people that wanted those Magnum condoms. Okay. So you have the triple release party we've talked about. And I know that it's Esmeralda's birthday, and I think that we have a little surprise for her, don't we?
Because
do we have one for her?
He's like, huh?
We can all sing.
Can we all sing? Do you have? Can you get it going on your guitar?
Oh, that's
is that legal?
Well, let's just sing then.
Yeah.
We haven't sung
is
yet.
That
for
legal?
The. Oh wait, is it legal?
Yeah.
Is it? Well, okay.
Oh, I don't know. Actually,
isn't it copyrighted?
I think it's.
I think it's in the public domain now.
Yeah. Yeah, go for it.
Can you sing it in Spanish?
No, I want to hear you guys do it.
Is it Feliz Cumpleaños?
Yeah.
A tu.
Feliz
Cumpleaños.
Okay, ready? Feliz Cumpleaños. A ti. Feliz Cumpleaños. A ti. Feliz Cumpleaños. Esmeralda. Feliz cumpleaños, Santi. I don't know why I thought that'd be really hard before.
Yay.
So what's your...
Gracias.
We don't have candles here for you to blow out or any cake or anything like that, but do you have a... I don't want to say a wish, but something you're looking forward to here in the next year?
Being wiser.
Being wiser.
And more money.
Well, those two things often go hand in
hand. Let's hope so. Yeah. I got my prosperity oil on.
Oh,
from
really?
That time, we had witches on once.
Oh.
And they cleansed the studio and they left us this prosperity oil. I put it on every day. I'm like, no, I'm not taking any chances.
That was one of my favorite shows. I got to say, it's a joy. We've just started working together about like 6-7 months ago, but it is an absolute joy to work along.
Thank
and I'm just
you,
so happy for your birthday and very excited that you got to have some rum tonight, and you'll have plenty more tomorrow.
Yeah. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
To start my birthday.
It's a great start to the birthday. Okay. And how about we get a little serenaded here?
Yeah.
Dan, do you have another song that you can sing for us here and play for us? What's it called?
This song's called Up All Night. I actually co-wrote it with Emily Blue from Terra Terra, who's
and
also on the bill.
How perfect. Up All Night for Esmeralda Leon, who is up all night every single night alongside Nick DiGilio and Patty Vasquez in the Traffic Center. Okay, take it away, Dan, whenever you are ready.
All right.
Take your pill, please. Let's slip into domestic ease. Don't you never wanna leave? Please don't leave. Oh, please. But I'm up all night again, running circles round my bed.
let's ditch sleep. Find some places to live, then leave. Till our brains turn old and gray, and find some place to stay. Make me weak. But I'm up all night again, running circles round my bed. And when I wake up, yeah, I love you just the same. But still I'm up all night.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
That was gorgeous.
There's something, I don't want to get too deep into this, but it's something ghostly about some of the lyrics. Like, they're very painful. I can hear some pain in them, but they're also so optimistic. I feel, I just smile when I listen to that song. That was great stuff.
Thank you so much.
So one more time, recap where people can find your music, and either live or online.
Absolutely. You can come see the show at the Empty Bottle May 31st, a little while away. That's when the record is going to come out. You can find the one single online on SoundCloud. Just search Dan Durley. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Durley Tweets, and on Facebook, just type Dan Durley. It'll be /Dan Durley Music. All the updates, all the tracks through there.
Good luck with all of your projects, nice. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, more coming up here on 720 WGN. I like how Dan Durley's music was, like, peaceful, and it was like, all right, we're relaxing, we're chilling, we're sipping on some rum, and now it's like, no, Esmeralda's birthday's happening.
Now I have to work out Kanye's workout plan.
Yeah, gotta get some Kanye West going for the big birthday. We're coming up on 11 o'clock here on this Friday night in Chicago, a gorgeous night. The streets of Michigan Avenue still buzzing here downtown Chicago, and we're buzzing too here in the studio.
Yeah,
we're drinking a lot of rum.
Bit. Just a little.
But Esmeralda, we're really excited for your birthday. New York's about to celebrate.
You.
Boston.
Yes.
Actually, as far
as that ball's gonna drop in New York.
In fact, Indianapolis. We're really close to your birthday. Oh, you travel like 30 miles east.
There you go.
It'll go to the horseshoe. Birthday. You can go celebrate your birthday. No, they're still on Central Time Zone, but a little bit further east, you can. So we talked about this earlier because I was like, oh, at midnight, it's your birthday. And you were like, well, not technically till 1:30. And that holds some sort of significance in your family,
well,
right?
Well, so again, my mother, earlier in past shows, we talked about how when I made tamales with her, she told me I couldn't go to the bathroom until they were all done and cooked.
Right.
Because it would ruin them. I don't know where she got that.
Which
she said her grandma told her
that. Didn't someone last week debunk
that? Yeah,
we had on
Otoniel Michel
from
Estrella Negra, and he was like, I don't know what you're talking
about.
Never
heard of that, yeah.
Because he comes from the same state my mom's from in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they got it from.
Right.
Her family secrets. But no, the one she tells me is if you were born before noon.
Okay.
If you are born before noon, you are not going to be lazy.
You're an early riser. You're active.
You're not going to be
stuff.
You're not going to grow up to be lazy. But if you're born after noon, you will be lazy. I was pulled out at 1:30.
But not that not all that late.
P.M.
Not all that late though. Does it get progressively lazier the later in the afternoon as you go?
I mean, I'm pretty lazy.
Yeah. I was 10:02. I was 10:02 p.m. and that certainly holds. I'm about as lazy as it gets.
Patty, you could always go. That's very early.
What?
Because you were for early, like you came out before the day started.
No, I'm okay. Late. I put my mother through about 36 hours of labor, too, by the way.
I was a C-section.
And she reminds you of that all the time.
Yeah.
And you were
all
C.
The time.
Yeah, I was a C.
Yeah, I was also, it's interesting, I was born about, I think, 3 weeks early. So I put my mom into labor 3 weeks early and then waited for 36
like,
hours.
No.
I was like, you know, never mind. It's too early.
Fooled
I'm
you.
Not big enough.
I was a C-section, and I was only a C-section because my head... Because you know how babies are fetal position, all crouched in and stuff.
Boy, we're getting deep here.
My head was sticking out. And I was like, hey, everybody, I'm ready to go.
See, that's
What's
not
going
lazy.
On?
That's not lazy. You were a go-getter.
Yeah. So they had to do C-section because they couldn't do it
the other
way.
The rest of you wouldn't
Because my head
emerge.
Was out. My head was out. I was looking around like, hello, are we leaving now? I'm ready.
I got my bags packed.
I thought babies came head first.
Yeah, but mine was like out.
Oh, gotcha. And then
so
just
they didn't want to risk anything.
They could get your shoulders
like,
and such.
Right.
Oh, yes. I see what you're saying. Okay.
So, yeah. So because usually they're like
I
the little...
You would have had to draw that for me to help. But
wait, so you had to, they did the C-section and then just pull you back through? I mean, because your head was already out.
No,
you...
I was. My head was just, you know, I was looking up and out.
Gotcha.
Rather than
I still don't get it.
Yeah,
you know
either.
How babies like they're all like their heads are tucked in and.
What you, I don't
right
get
in the
what
womb?
You mean.
You mean you hadn't passed the, your head wasn't out of the birth canal?
No, they
oh,
just
see,
they looked
right?
at the ultrasound and
that's
they
what
saw.
I thought
oh, you,
meant. You
thought like midway. Yeah. They're like, nope, we can't
so
do it this
wait,
way.
Look, I'm not one to know much about the female anatomy. I will admit that for many different reasons. But where was your head? Out
it
of
was
what?
Just, so okay.
Out of position.
Out
yeah.
of position.
So babies are all you know, they're
tucked.
Kind of yeah, they're tucked in.
Oh, you were perked up.
Like, babies look like they're about to do a cannonball.
Right.
This is accurate.
Upside down,
you know,
yes.
Chin
okay.
down.
Right.
Mine was up and out. My head was out.
You were like you had awoken. You were alert.
Yeah, like I was like, hello, everyone. What's going on?
I and now know so much
loose.
More about your birth
you know
than
so
I thought I
me.
Ever would. But yeah. This is all about us getting to know each other as
yeah,
well.
Exactly.
I'm so excited. Pani Vasquez, welcome.
Thank you. I've brought presents for us and my
oh
very
my
intricate gift wrapping skills. I had to open the box from Amazon because I had to make sure like there weren't like a pair of socks in there too because I like
hey,
you know they bulk pack everything.
Yes.
So that's all yours.
You just dragged
oh.
a box in here.
You can ask Colin. I was messaging him in the middle of the night.
Oh my god.
Oh. That's sweet.
I was like, what about this? Does she need this? And he's like, it's come up.
Was
I
he
guess.
Trying to sleep during this time?
Probably.
When
no.
He's
I've
usually awake.
I put him on my schedule now. not because I
you
did
got
it.
Him
he
whipped.
Just, no, he just stays up now.
Oh.
You sleep when I sleep, buddy.
I didn't know. He just doesn't. I'm like, go to bed.
We have a text from the 708. I was born at 6:04 a.m. I don't ever want to get up that early again.
There you go. You learned your lesson.
Amen.
When
oh,
were you
I
born,
wish.
Patty?
Yeah.
Noonish. I believe I was born noonish. Griffin was born at 4:44, and Declan
wow.
was born around midnight. 4:40 a.m. Griffin was 4:44 a.m.
See?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I would, from the stories you've told me, he is not a lazy one at all.
I
is
don't
he?
Know that he's no. a get-up-and-go kind of a kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, he works very hard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess he doesn't get out of bed easily. How's that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Again, this is my mother's thought process, so let's not put too much into it.
Do you guys get up grouchy? Because I wake up very grouchy.
I can't. You know, I get up so early now in the morning
oh,
and
yeah.
have to, like, smile and be on TV.
Oh, wow.
That I you know, I am grouchy from the moment I get up until I've had coffee.
Yes.
You know, honestly, like, if you were to ask me how my day is going when I'm in the shower at 3:35 in the morning,
yeah.
It's because I'm a really normally a joyful, happy person. But that first 10 minutes, and I have to tell myself, stop thinking. Like, don't think.
Just because
it's nothing good.
Do you use your own name for yourself? John, you can do this. John,
I do.
This.
Yeah. I talk to myself. And it's usually because I've turned on the shower and I've now taken a seat. I don't know if I told you about this.
Oh, yeah.
How
you
I sit down in the shower and I kind of just put my head between my legs and I'm like, you can do this. Just get up and get that coffee. I've already got the pot going. I've already
wow.
got it in the French press. And I'm just like, get up. Just wash yourself and get out of bed.
Oh, I love it.
And then an hour later, I'm smiling on television. It's really amazing how that transformation happens.
It's just hard to get there.
It really is in the moment. No, I've always been a night owl. It's strange that I'm on this schedule now, working the morning show, but that's where I am. So,
yeah.
But
yeah,
that's the way it is. So, are you? You're obviously late night people by
yeah.
nature.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
This is a heaven.
Person.
This
yeah.
is heaven.
You guys
sent.
Are so lucky. You're
it's
so
heaven
lucky.
Sent because I did work mornings for a while,
right.
Producing and stuff.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Hey, we're yapping too much. We got to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll find out everything that's coming. Oh, no, we have no breakup today?
No.
Traits?
All in.
Oh, wow. Never mind then.
Open your box, Esmeralda.
Yeah, open the presents.
We have our friends from Odiseo by Cavalia in the green room.
That sounds fancy.
And then we have our political route. It's Freak Out Friday, so we will talk about the world politics, local politics.
You know, Esmeralda and I usually stay away from a lot of that stuff, but we talked about a lot of serious stuff today, which is interesting. Okay, what's going on in here?
I'm outfitting your apartment.
She's laughing. Yes. There's a lot of things.
Yes.
There's more boxes.
I couldn't decide what to pick, so I picked them all.
It's a vegetable spiralizer.
Yeah.
I can make noodles.
You can make zucchini pasta or something?
Yes.
A waffle maker.
Yes.
Those are contradictory.
And then I don't know what this is.
It's a coffee grinder.
Oh.
I need
those are great gifts.
Well, her apartment, she's moving into a new place.
I am.
And it's her birthday and she likes to cook. So
oh
I thought,
my God.
And you can waffle anything. You actually make the vegetable spiralizer, like noodles, and then waffle them. That's
and all I got her was candles. I'm like, oh, you're moving to a new place. How about three little candles? They're small candles.
They're adorable candles.
No, also, I'm catching up. I've known Esmeralda for 4 years now, and this is the first time I've bought her a gift for her
birthday.
Oh,
my God. I don't even. This is amazing. Thank you so much, guys.
Well, you deserve it.
Happy birthday. It's also from John. Did I not mention it?
Oh, also from John. Exactly. Yeah, as I'm like throwing you $20 across the way here, I'm just crumpling it up into a ball and hitting you across the face with an Andrew Jackson. Mm-hmm. Patty, what do you got coming up today?
We have we are going to do Freak Out Friday. We have someone that has a you know the stuff.
What? Some horse thing, right?
No, we have some horse thing. We have Cavalia. We have the folks from Cavalia.
Did you already say all this? I've had so much rum tonight. I don't even know what you're.
It's okay.
Okay.
I wasn't going to mention that.
Did you literally just say okay?
We have Eric and Laura from Cavalia. We also have, it's whiskey and a cookie tonight.
There you go.
Oh, that's fun.
Everything's easier with whiskey and a cookie.
Have a wonderful show.
You have a great weekend, my friend.
All right. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.